You're listening to Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. Portions of this broadcast have been pre-recorded.
World Generation Podcast Network presents Fatal 4-Way Radio. Starring Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Infected, Peacemaker Kanye West, and the Swami, Christian from Philly. Brought to you in part by Pro Wrestling Planet. And now, your host, the resident heel, Minister of Sinister.
All right, welcome to the show. It's great of you to join us. Welcome to Fatal 4-Way Radio. I am your host, the resident heel, Minister of Sinister, and let's get right to the lines today. We've got, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the Swami, Christian from Philly. Give it up. How are you doing today, bro?
Man, dude, these last 2 days have been fucking shit.
Oh my God. Wrestling.
These last 2 days have been fucking horrendous.
And I'm sure you're going to tell us all about it. But first, ladies and gentlemen, let's get with Kanye West. Kanye.
Yo.
How are you doing, bud?
Hey, boys, speaking of Kanye West is about to drop some fire. I don't know if y'all seen any news about that, but there's been like a lot of whispers of a new Kanye album coming really soon. There's a listening party coming up, and then he's going to drop it soon. So we've been waiting for like 3 years for another Kanye album. We're about to get it. Maybe not three years, but like 2 years.
The last
album,
is it a diss track?
It's all going to be religious, yeah, but it has a lot of features. There's going to be a lot of popular artists on it with it.
Nice.
He's put out a few songs after the really Jesus-y album that were like still like bangers, like they're still really good songs that just kind of have like positive tones. But that aside, what Christian said like about how the last 2 days was so shit, I literally just told my wife, like, I just turned off Monday Night Raw, watched it on Hulu, and I was like, man, that was like 2 really good days of wrestling. I can't wait to hear these guys shit all over.
Nice.
I like having different opinions on the show. You're being sarcastic. There's no way you're saying that.
No, it was enjoyable, dude. It was enjoyable.
No.
We'll get into it. Oh, yeah. We're definitely going to get into it.
Watch out for Yeezy season. Yeezy season approaching.
Guys, we have Alberto Infected, who will be, is running a little bit late, but he has assured me that he will be here. So we are wait his arrival very soon, I anticipate. So guys, hell of a weekend for wrestling. I got caught up. I had to watch it in pieces here and there, but I did manage to get it all in except for one match. And we'll talk about that later. Guys, I want to thank you guys for doing this shit with me every week. Now for, you know, over a year on this run. Of course, the Swami's been with me for a few years already, and the show's been going on for at least 5 years now. I don't know how long. We've got over 400 episodes, guys. Over 400 episodes. So, yeah, we've been on for a while. So, and you can go check out the past shows if you want. They're available in the archives at Fatal 4-Way Radio. I'm sorry, blogtalkradio.com/Fatal 4-Way Radio. So, yeah, you can check that out anytime, anywhere, whatever, World Generation Podcast Network. Do it. But, guys, man, we have let's get on with the birthdays. We've got not very many, but we've got a few, nevertheless. Adam Rose is the only one today. Adam Rose.
Yeah.
Had that crazy gimmick.
Leo Krieger.
Yeah, there you
Rosebud.
Leo Krieger,
Rosebud.
Yes. I got to say, guys, it took me a while before I realized what the hell a rosebud was. I was not sure what the hell they were referring to there. But Once I found out, I was like, I didn't know whether to be disgusted or, you know, actually, it was actually kind of humorous, but I digress. So then tomorrow we have no birthdays. And then on the 22nd would have been Fabulous Moolah's birthday. 1923, holy crap. 1923, she would have been 98, I guess. Coming
the one we don't like, right?
Yeah, that's
she's
a bad one.
It is. But guess who else has a birthday coming up on the same day, actually, as the Fabulous Moolah, and that would be July 22nd. None other than the Sexy Boy. Oh, yeah. He's got him dreaming already. The Sexy Boy, Shawn Michaels, who, by the way, I watched the thing with Shawn Michaels on A&E channel. And I have to say, I really enjoyed it. If you guys have not been able to watch those episodes that they have of some of the wrestlers on, some of the WWE wrestlers on A&E channel, you should maybe try to make an effort to do so. The one on the Sexy Boy, Shawn Michaels, was actually really good. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed watching him behind the scenes of where he's at now in NXT. Doing what he's always loved, but in a different capacity. And I have to say, I was never really a Shawn Michaels fan throughout his entire career. I did enjoy the hell, though, out of Shawn Michaels post his first run. Like, I'm talking about, like, you know, from 2004, or, like, starting with the feud that he did with Jericho, where Jericho was trying to kill him, and he put his head through the TV and all that shit. I mean, that was when I started really liking Shawn Michaels. I didn't even care for any of that other shit he had done before. But I have tremendous respect for him. And it's so cool how his life has, you know, completely taken a turn. I mean, you could tell by this interview, okay, he was a shy boy, a shy guy into a business that, you know, has a bunch of bodacious, loud people and shit. And here was this shy guy who actually he was enamored with Ric Flair. He loved Ric Flair. He wanted to be Ric Flair. And unfortunately, Ric Flair was the type of SOB that he lived his character. He was his character. But what you get out of this story on A&E is that, like, you know, Shawn Michaels had his problems with addiction. He was battling his addiction. I have to say that I think that, you know, him wanting to emulate the Nature Boy or trying to be like the Nature Boy is what, you know, caused his addiction to emerge. What do you think about that, Christian Fafili? Do you think that's possible?
He said he wanted
to be like Ric Flair. And, you know, Ric Flair, he didn't do the drugs, but he was a partier.
Yeah. I think Shawn is still a dickhead. I'm sorry. I think he's still a dickhead. Anybody who doesn't put over the punt kick and 2020 is a fucking dickhead. I'm sorry. Like, he could have put over Randy Orton's punk kick, and he didn't. So he's a dickhead. I'm sorry. He's still a dickhead.
I'm not going to hold that against him.
I wouldn't compare his addiction to Flair's not. I would say that everybody in that time, or not everybody, but a lot of those guys were living fast, and Shawn has just probably got an addictive personality more than any of them. I mean, a lot of the guys got caught up, bro. A lot of the guys in the clique were addicted to drugs.
Yeah, he got caught up and was doing the coke and stuff, you know, and they didn't get too in-depth into that, but you know what happens. I mean, you know, unfortunately it was bad for him, but he found his way out of it.
Everybody except for Triple H. I never heard any stories about Triple H taking drugs, though.
He found his way out of it, and that's where the respect comes in. It got even greater for me because the Sexy Boy, Shawn Michaels, found his way out of that shit. Took time off, found the Lord even. I don't know how much that means to any of you, but to a lot of people it means something.
Well, he didn't take time off. Yeah, but he didn't really take time off because of that. He took time off because his back was fucked.
Right. His back was fucked, and, you know, of course, the painkillers. You know, I'm sure the painkillers were flowing from his doctors and whatnot, and I'm sure he had other things flowing from other sources. And so he got caught up, man. And you know, kudos to him for pulling himself out of that shit. I've been there, and it's not something I'd like to return to any time ever. And if you're out there struggling with addiction, please seek help. It's nowhere to be, brother. Anyway, so Sexy Boy, and they showed him behind the scenes, you know, and he's now with NXT, and he's having fun, but it's in a different capacity. He's still doing what he loves, but in a different capacity, and that's even more to respect him. Also, Fandango is going to have a birthday on July 22nd. Who, of course, was recently released. Now, I remember a lot of people when this guy was Johnny Curtis, and I myself was digging this guy with the whole Johnny Curtis thing, and then he became Fandango, and I continued to like Fandango. I still push his music, his theme song here on this show, you know, for the bumpers, but the character
it was
so
cool with
simply faded Guinness. Away.
Johnny Curtis was badass, Guinness. And... Johnny
what do you
Curtis
mean he was badass? What did he do?
I mean, it was a cool idea for, like, when NXT was starting, for, like, an early draft NXT character. Like, Johnny Curtis could have gone on to do better as Johnny Curtis and did not meet him in a Fandango.
He won the season, and he did nothing on SmackDown. He did nothing.
I just don't think it's Fandango's fault. I think he did everything that they ever asked him to do.
I don't understand what they were doing with that. Like, what the fuck was this gimmick? Like, pouring fucking milk on yourself? What the fuck? How the fuck does that
Hell
get you over?
I don't remember a lot of it. I just remember that Johnny Curtis was more serious than Fandango.
He was ahead of the game. Ahead of the game, guys. In the
I know who else has a birthday coming up.
Moist department.
Is there any birthdays on the 23rd or the 24th? I'll let you, because I know one on the 25th.
Angelo Dawkins.
Tori Wilson. That sounds familiar.
Angelo Dawkins is in the...
he's from the Street Profits.
Yeah, he's from the Street Profits.
We just haven't seen
this guy
in forever.
What
he's
other birthday?
One.
Oh, wait, I have that birthday. I have it right here. The birthday you're talking about. Let me take a stab here. I'm going to say that you are going to go with Bob Orton Sr.
False, but that's interesting.
Okay. Bob Orton Sr., 1929. Kevier, whose birthday is it?
The 25th is Finn Balor's birthday?
Oh, yeah. The 25th, Finn Balor's birthday. That's right. Finn Balor, of course, made a grand entrance this weekend in one of the shows,
Prince.
And we will be
Smackdown.
Getting to Finn Balor SmackDown. Yeah.
You mean a demotion?
A demotion to SmackDown, things are about to change on SmackDown, and I actually have a feeling that Finn Balor is going to be a part of that change. And you know what? It's long been reported that he's a Triple H guy, and I firmly believe that he is a Triple H guy.
Everybody's
thinking,
a Triple H guy from NXT.
Triple H called him and said, "Hey, man." You know, you got injured and all that shit, you know, and then you came back and it all turned to shit for you. So what we're going to do is we're going to take you to NXT. And he took him to NXT telling him, hey, man, we're going to let things fucking get turned to shit again real bad over there because they don't know what the fuck they're doing. And when the time is right, we're going to call you up because Triple H has always said this business is about timing. And right now is the perfect time for Finn Balor to jump in any brand and fucking do something. And so touch on Finn Balor and his career with WWE coming up in the WWE report with the Swami Christian from Philly. So that was the birthdays. Wait a minute. I think we've got maybe one more. Finn Balor, July 25th. Yeah, Roderick Strong, July 26th. And Tessa Blanchard, July 26th. And by the way, I mean, don't get me wrong, man. Tully Blanchard is, you know, he's the guy that really turned me on to the heels. He's definitely the guy that turned me on to the heels and shit and made me want to be a heel and act like a heel. And, you know, the bad guy gets the girl and shit, you know. But, man. I was watching him on AEW, man, and I mean, I don't know, man. I think, you know, maybe his better days are behind him. I mean, I don't know what you guys think about Tully Blanchard,
I don't know. But, I mean, he's a manager on AEW. I think if it's Tessa's birthday, we should really, like, what's up with Tessa's career? She's, like, one of these wrestlers that should be a big star. And, you know, we've talked about it on the show before. She said this stuff in the past. And it's like, it totally stopped her. Is she ever going to be able to be on a major show?
She has an attitude problem, and she holds a title of a company hostage. No wonder nobody wants to work with her.
That's everything I've read about her right there, man, is that she's got an attitude problem. Sometimes there's ways around that, you know, but I don't know. I mean, I don't anticipate seeing her. Why would WWE take someone like Tessa Blanchard, who is a known troublemaker, drop her into the mix of their fucking jolly good world that they have from all of their own people?
Homegrown talent.
Their homegrown talent and shit. Why would they bring somebody outside to possibly influence them into another direction? I just don't see it as best for business. And I honestly, I'm glad you brought that up.
She's not a groundbreaking wrestler. Like, she's not doing things that people haven't done before, really. But she just has a good look, and she's a good wrestler. So, you know, I would think that she would be on a major show, but she's obviously doing stuff that's keeping her from being on major shows.
Let's go to the phone lines. 609, you're on the air with Fatal 4-Way Radio. What's going on? Hello? Fatal 4-Way Radio.
Caller.
Caller! Holla if you hear me. You're on mute, maybe? 609.
Unless you called the wrong number.
I guess so. Who the fuck knows? All right. Moving on. Let's see. That does it for the birthdays, guys. So, yeah, big round of applause for the fucking birthdays. Who the hell would call wrong number? Is it
I don't fucking know.
And God knows how long that guy was or girl was waiting. I mean, I had it on the other screen. You know what I'm talking about? But I digress. So anyway, moving on. Let's go to this week in history. Right?
Oh, that was this year in history.
This year in history, yes. This year on this day. On this day. So, 1973, first one. Most of you guys, actually, I could say all of you guys weren't even born yet. Jack Briscoe defeated Harley fucking Race in Houston to capture the NWA World Heavyweight Championship for the first time. Now, the Briscoes, you know, he's from the Briscoe family. Obviously, one of the main Briscoes, I guess. So. Went on to have, I guess, children and whatnot, and nephews and shit, who became the Briscoes.
Yeah, the hillbillies in ROH.
Yeah, and by the way, they're also in the on this day in history.
They're not.
From 2019.
Are they tied to them, really? Are they kayfabe Gerald Briscoe's family? I don't think they are they?
Yeah. They're called the Briscoes. Why would they call themselves the Briscoes?
I always thought that that was just like coincidence. I thought that was like, I'd have to look into that.
But dude, I don't blame you for questioning it, because they look like fucking hillbillies. I'm sorry. Like, what the fuck? They look awful.
Oh my God. Nevertheless, it was at ROH Manhattan Mayhem in 2019. And this was at the Hammerstein Ballroom in New York City, New York. And the main event saw the ROH Tag Team Championship change hands when Jay and Mark Briscoe defeated the Gorillas of Destiny, Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa, in a street fight.
Yeah, part of the Bullet Club, yeah.
Wow. So, yeah, they're also in the... in the annals of this day in history. Let's see, I've got one or two more that I wanted to touch on. Yes,
was that the same match that Enzo and Big Cass invaded?
Man, I believe so. I'm not sure for a fact, but it sounds about right. But that's exactly what my thought was when I read it. earlier today, and the date sounds about right. He's been gone about 2 years.
Yeah.
Since Bucks.
Yeah.
1992. Yeah, Kevin?
I was just going to say, I'm sorry to rain on the parade, but I had to look it up because I thought that maybe they were related, but no, they're not related to them. It's a kayfabe.
It's all kayfabe.
Yeah.
Also, then why the fuck are they using the Briscoe family's name then? What the fuck?
Yeah. They don't even say it's kayfabe that they're related to him. Like, it's just coincidence that it's the same name.
Also, they'd copy infringement then. They're basically stealing a family name.
Yeah. I guess if they called him, if one of them's name was Gerald, then Vince could sue him, right? Do you think he owns Gerald Briscoe? Or I guess Gerald Briscoe would sue him. Somebody
yeah,
has no idea. Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe Vince would sue him. And look at John Cena. He says he's gone on record saying that he's not even sure he could use his name outside the company.
Yeah.
If you can believe that. Which, by the way, speaking of John Cena, John Cena. Been deemed, WWE busted out a press release earlier today. It is the summer of Cena. And he is on tour, and they're back, guys.
Late
they're back
summer.
Doing weekend house shows and whatnot. And so it's the summer tour, summer of Cena. That's
late
right,
summer.
Summer. The summer of
late
Cena.
Late summer. It's the late,
so, yeah.
late summer of John Cena.
So.
Summer.
Let's see here. Yeah, back to the this day in history. 1992, guys. Scott Hall taped his first matches for WWE as Razor Ramon when he defeated Jim Powers, Paul Van Dow, and Tony Roy in separate matches at a WWF Superstars of Wrestling taping.
Three fucking matches.
Three matches.
That's not really impressive.
At one
that's
taping.
Not really impressive.
Holy shit.
That's not
three
really
matches
impressive.
At one taping.
those were all jobbers.
I know, dude, but still, can you imagine being a fucking fan there? And you're seeing this guy. Most of you probably don't even know who the fuck Scott Hall is at this point. And then he's facing three jobbers to boot. I mean, holy shit.
All he probably did was just hit one move and then raise his edge, and that's it in all those matches. That's all he did.
You know what? You're absolutely right. That's exactly probably what happened, more than likely. 1998, guys, two title changes took place on WCW Monday Nitro from Salt Lake City, Utah. Scott Hall and the Giant of the NWO Hollywood defeated NWO's Wolfpack's Kevin Nash and Sting for the WCW Tag Team Championship, and Bret Hart won the WCW United States Championship from Diamond Dallas Page.
Well, this was during the time where Scott Hall was doing the alcoholic storyline, and, you know, they had to get that match between Kevin Nash and Scott Hall, Halloween Havoc. So, of course, they had to give the titles to Big Show and Scott Hall. And Bret Hart winning the United States Championship from DDP, it really were special. Bret Hart's career in WCW was not that special to begin with, so nobody really cared.
Was this, do you think, Kevier, that this was, you know, a nod maybe from people backstage for Scott Hall to maybe get the message and get his shit together? And they put him in a storyline, you know, art imitating life?
No.
I think that Bischoff and Russo were probably behind it. They're both kind of sleazeballs back then, and they fucking did it. Without thinking twice about how it would affect the guy.
Yeah, they do. They did do that. And guess what? His wife, who was divorcing Scott Hall at the time, says this was fucking disgusting. This is terrible behavior. This is unprofessional. I hate WCW. The company. Yeah, she hated the company for doing it. She even fucking used email to the company saying how she hated this storyline. She hated what WCW was doing, and it was disgusting. This was the most distasteful storyline that ever did.
Wow.
And it is, it does suck because, like, a part of me wants to see that feud. Like, I want to see the feud with Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, but not in that light. Like, I don't, you know, and you
it
don't
ruins.
Want to see Scott Hall
it
like
ruins.
That or Jake the Snake or any of these. Yeah. So
it ruined a Mega Million Dollar match that people wanted to see.
Yeah. WCW. We would have all loved to see, like, a much better version of Nash versus Hall. And that's crazy that they did that. I didn't watch a lot of WCW, but looking at it like that, it sucks.
It sucked. The match sucked. And the biggest middle finger of that match was Kevin Nash hits two jackknives, and then he just walks out and loses by countout. Can you believe that?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the big slap in the face right there. Can you imagine being a fucking paying member, you know, and dropping, you know, shit? I'm sure it was. If you're in the up close, it was probably, even back then, it was probably $90 at least.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, dropping some money on some shit like that, and it's, you have to be pissed off. They were doing a lot of shit back then. And I remember thinking, this is just too much. And at the time, when they were doing all this horse shit, they had so many fucking NWOs going on, and it was all a bunch of horse shit to me. I couldn't watch it anymore. It had become unwatchable to me.
Yeah. Was the storyline, like, with NWO Wolfpack, was it like Nash started the Wolfpack? Because was it like a different Wolfpack that Nash wanted to start to be the good guy Wolfpack?
The whole story started when Hulk Hogan was pissing him off. And he chose Dennis Rodman. It all started with the whole Dennis Rodman thing. That's when it all
gotcha.
Started. How Nash was getting fucking angry. And then Nash got booted out. And this was during the whole Randy Savage thing, too, where Randy was pissed at Hulk. And then Kevin Nash and Randy decided to fuck you, Hogan. We're making our own NWO. And later on, it was a fucking swerve all along. So it was all a con. It wasn't real. And it sucked. It took
yeah.
them a whole year. Think about this, right? Think about this in kayfabe. So basically, they conned people for a whole fucking year. And this was all a big con just to make Lex Luger and Sting technically join the fucking NWO. It ruined Sting, too. Because he hates
it.
NWO.
It was a bunch of horse shit, and I could see right through it, I'm telling you.
Yeah. It was horrible.
Hmm.
So R-I-P-W-C-W. That was that 1998, guys. One more, or should we be done?
Yeah, one more.
One more, they're asking for. All right, I like that. One more. 2014, WWE's Battleground pay-per-view took place at the Amalie Arena in Tampa, Florida.
Well,
Battleground, of course. Everybody knows this paper. Battleground.
John
Cena retained the World Heavyweight Championship in a fatal four-way match against Kane, Roman Reigns, and Randy Orton. Earlier on the card, The Miz captured the Intercontinental Championship after emerging victorious in a battle royal for the title. What a fucking snooze fest that sounds like.
Yeah,
no,
I think
but
that was the start
Miz,
of Miz's
Miz,
really good Intercontinental run. That was like when he
no,
carried
that was,
it for a while.
It wasn't yet. It was no. until 20. It was 2016 when it started.
Damn. I dare Kevye go back and look that up, maybe, perhaps.
No, that sounds that sounds right.
Let's go to caller 609. You're on the air with Beta 4-Way Radio.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's going on, bud?
What's that?
Hey, you know what? I called you about the one thing I wanted to talk about, Karrion Kross, but as I heard you guys talking about the WCW thing, I always found it fascinating that it doesn't get talked about enough, the Hogan and Nash power struggle behind the scenes, how it ruined the NWO angle, and how Eric Bischoff really had to choose between which side, and when he chose Hogan, he did little things like Fire 6 or X-Pac, however you want to name them, and little things like
yeah.
where they would come out and lay out guys like Conan and Luger and Nash, and these guys would be in the back, and later on, Nash within the show would refuse to do a promo because since they didn't allow them to come out to the ring and do the chase off, he felt like they killed him off on TV and he's a little stupid, so he wouldn't come out and do promos, and it ruined the whole NWO angle. They never actually had a match, NWO Black and White versus the Red and Black, because Nash and Hogan just couldn't get on the same page.
Yeah, but realistically, Luger's an idiot for even thinking of joining an NWO group, because I thought the whole story was he hates NWO no matter what color it is.
Yeah, the story was, I mean, with the various members, you're right, and Luger is just a misfit in that whole group either way. But, you know, Nash, it doesn't go enough to say how much Nash fucked Bret Hart as well. Nash fucked WCW in a lot of ways, and when he was a script writer, he made it a purpose to make Bret look like shit. He put him in long matches with Disco Inferno. He had him in long matches with Van Hammer. Nash was fucked up, and he was really a big portion of why WCW shit the bed.
And Nash has been coming out talking. He was recently on the Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast, and things came up between him and Bret Hart. Currently, it looked like they put things behind them from the way Nash was talking. You know that, I mean, there was a lot of shit there. And it was probably hard to get hard.
Dude, you know the reign of terror of Nash's booking decisions began when he booked himself to beat Goldberg's undefeated streak. You know shit was getting thrown out the window at that point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was out of line.
When
he booked out of line. And caller, where are you calling from today?
I'm calling out in the South Jersey area.
South Jersey area. Welcome to the show, man. Welcome to the show, Fatal 4 Radio. Yeah.
What's your name, bud?
Joe.
Joe, welcome to the show, bud. We can talk about Karrion Kross. I enjoyed what happened, and I'd like to talk about it if we can.
I think the unique thing about the Karrion Kross issue is it feels as if Triple H had a vision for that character that Vince doesn't share. And I don't know if it's something that they're playing to in the longer run, but it almost seems like Vince and Bruce still have the old game of let's see if he's willing to do a job and how he feels about it. And let's give him a reason to come back.
That's a great
point. That's his old story. You know, that's the old story that Vince and Bruce always do, like they did with DDP. Let's give him something different. Let's give him a reason to come back, right? Let's give him something. Like, we're going to have Jeff Hardy beat him and give him a reason to come back, right? When really they're just testing him to see what it does the job, you know?
No, it was stupid. It was stupid.
I think that it launches him into a great feud with Jeff and that it's going to look good for both of them. If they're really going to push Jeff again and give him a chance to look cool again, you know, the last couple of feuds for Jeff I haven't really cared for. So it does suck that this dude lost his streak on TV and he's the NXT champion. But Jeff cheated, and he's going to expose that, and Jeff's going to pay for cheating in this match.
No, they shouldn't have done it. They shouldn't have debuted the world champion of another brand on Raw fucking so soon. They should have had it when he lost the title. Now have him fucking lose in a two-minute match against Jeff Hardy by a fucking roll-up. That's horrible. What they did was horrible. It's stupid.
Ladies and gentlemen, and by the way, Joe, thank you so much for joining us. We've got ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Rancho Punk Rocker joining us. Albert Infected, what's going on, my friend?
Oh, you know, it's pouring in San Antonio.
San Antonio.
We got to
get a rope.
Get a rope. It's been everywhere. Whoa. It's just raining everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. It's raining all over the goddamn place. Flood warnings and all sorts of crazy shit. But we got in and sat down, had a quick, nice dinner with Teresa, and now we're on. So I'm glad to be here.
We're glad to have you, my friend. And we're talking about Karrion Kross right now. Guys, let's wrap this up. We'll go to break, and then we'll come back, and we'll talk about some other shit. So stay right where you're at. And, Joe, please stick around if you'd like to bullshit with us. We're talking wrestling here on Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. We'll be right back after these words. From the Friendly Fire Cigar Studios in Houston, Texas, you're listening to Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. Hey, Minister of Sinister here with a public service announcement, because we do that here too, you know. Nevertheless, COVID-19. Have you been vaccinated? I have, and guess what? It didn't cost me a thing. In fact, it allows me to walk around most businesses freely without a mask, which is a huge plus. I mean, how many times have you walked up to a store only to have to walk back to your car when you realize you left your stupid mask behind? Come on. Go get vaccinated. Look, folks, you know me. I'm the first one to call a spade when I see one. You know this. It's all a bunch of horseshit. We all know this. Why did I get vaccinated? Hear me out, folks. Honestly, I don't want to find myself in the ICU getting badgered by a freaking news reporter as to why I didn't get vaccinated. I saw this today on the midday news as I was checking out of La Quinta. Also, here's the thing. I'm anxious to see what other horseshit they're going to come up with to take away our freedom, because this has been a test. A test, folks, to gauge what all they can get away with. But I digress. Go get back, folks, so we can find out what the hell they're up to together.
This has been a public service announcement brought to you by the World Generation Podcast Network.
We welcome you to the Lone Star State with big wide open arms. But if you're trapping litter, well, that's cause for some alarm. You gotta keep our environment clean, and that's the honest truth. So don't you mess with Texas, lest you wanna get the boot. Go don't mess with Texas. This land is for me and you. From Dallas to the valley, every highway looking dandy, so future generations can enjoy too.
Dusty Rhodes, baby, the American Dream. There's a lot of people that don't like me. There's a lot of people, Christian, and out there in Philadelphia don't like Dusty Rhodes very much.
They
They said his belly is too big, baby. Maybe his hand is too big. But Christian from Philly, I'm coming to Philadelphia, baby. Dusty Rhodes, I'm coming to Philadelphia.
Dusty Rhodes, only a Fatal 4-Way Radio.
Hello, creatures of the night. This is Christian from Philly, and you're listening to Fatal 4-Way Radio, only on the World Generation Podcast Network. Get with it, bitches.
Oh my God. Get with it, bitches. According to the Swami, welcome back to Fatal 4-Way Radio. I am your host, the resident heel, Minister of Sinister. I've got with me the full cast. The Unusual Suspects, Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Inspected, Peacemaker, Kevye West, and the Swami, Christian from Philly, and also joining us tonight, Joe from New Jersey. Welcome, Joe. What's going on, bud? Tell us a little bit, man. You like wrestling? You've been watching? Do you keep up with the current storylines? Do you also watch AEW? Tell us a little bit, man. Your wrestling habit watching.
Yeah, you know, man, it's something, definitely something I've been doing since a young guy. I got to say, I do watch all the other products, mainly Ring of Honor, AEW, WWE. I will keep track of MLW from afar. I appreciate their product. I can't say I've actually seen a show recently, though. But I do really enjoy Ring of Honor's product. I feel like, Ring of Honor has put out a recent, with their roster, they've done all you can with those guys. They really made the most of them. And AEW, I got to say, you can't be nothing but impressed. I mean, could the booking be better or make more sense and be more cohesive? Of course, but WWE is fucking just as bad. I mean, so you can't hate on it. I would like to see matches maybe run at a more realistic or maybe even more of a consistent clip. I think they have constant just man, a barrage of false finishes. You can't even keep track of it anymore.
Right on, right on. Well, we certainly enjoy having you around. Stick around, and we're going to continue with the show. We'd like to have your input, man. So now it's time.
Yeah. And now, the resident watchdog, Christian from Philly, with AEW Weekly.
Well, AEW is that time again. We had the first night of Fyter Fest, ladies and gentlemen, where a lot of rivalries were put to bed, but new rivalries have also begun, right? First one was Christian beating Matt Hardy in what was a good match between old friends and old rivals. It was Big Money Matt versus Christian Cage. You know, role reversal, you know. Always, Matt Hardy was always the face and Christian was the heel back in the early 2000s. Now it's the role reversal. Christian's the face and Matt Hardy's the heel. It was a great match, won by all. Christian obviously won. So I think this rivalry's been put to bed. Any thoughts on it, gentlemen?
No, I just heard that this was a great match. I heard that this was one of the best matches of that show, and I haven't watched it yet. I didn't actually get to watch AEW because I was, like, all focused on WWE this weekend. But I'll probably go back and watch it. I tend to, like, throughout the week, I'll go back and watch AEW. And I've actually watched some Ring of Honor and stuff. I was talking about Fight App last week, so you can definitely catch MLW and Ring of Honor and stuff on there.
Nice.
But, yeah. Yeah, no, I didn't get to watch this week's episode of AEW. The Fyter Fest started it, and then I was at work, so I didn't finish it.
Yeah, let me go ahead and say welcome, Joe, to the show. Thank you so much for joining tonight. And I'm out here wondering where the hell are our old truck drivers I used to call in all the goddamn time. You're not a truck driver, are you?
No, I don't drive a truck.
We used to have these crazy truckers that would call in all the time because it's like a late night show and there's nothing to do. But when you're on the road late in the middle of America, and so you're calling into Fatal Four Way Radio, and so if you're out there in America's heartland and you're on the road right now, go ahead and give us a little call on your cell phone. Don't text and drive, but call us
here we have a call now. We got a call right now. Let's go. Fatal Four Way Radio, Minister of Sinister, what's going on, bud?
Hello?
Yeah. Hello?
Hello?
Is that?
Hey, everybody, it's me, Dale.
Dale, are you eating a cheeseburger or a Slim Jim or something?
Dale, I just got damn done, sat there at the late night Denny's over here in Oklahoma City. Let me tell you something. That Denny's was the worst goddamn Denny's I've ever been to in the goddamn, in the whole, like, wherever the hell I am. I ain't never been to a worse Denny's in my entire life.
You should have went to Shoney's, dude. You should have went to one of Big Papa Pump's Shoney's.
I ain't no goddamn Shoney's around anywhere. Let me tell you something. There ain't no goddamn Shoney's here. There ain't no goddamn Shoney's there. But I do remember one thing. The story of Jimmy Hart and Andy Kaufman. When Andy Kaufman was doing his heel run back in the early 1980s, the only person that got Andy Kaufman to ever break character was Jimmy Hart. You guys believe that?
Actually, Dale, you got that wrong. It's actually Jerry Lawler.
No. It was Jimmy Hart who was touring with Andy Kaufman, going into the territory so he could feud with Jerry Lawler. Believe it or not, Jimmy Hart and Andy Kaufman went into a Shoney's during that whole thing. Now, that was during the whole Andy Kaufman-Jerry Lawler feud. But the gentleman that was actually traveling and being his handler and introducing Mr. Kaufman into the wrestling business was none other than the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. And they became good friends on the road there. You guys know that? Anyway, so Andy Kaufman is sitting in the Shoney's somewhere in Missouri with none other than the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. They're having themselves a nice old meal, and Andy Kaufman's in character and treating the waitress like absolute trash. And Jimmy Hart says this is an old story here. You can watch this on a video, DVD, or whatever the hell television set you got. Jimmy Hart says, Andy, don't be mean to the waitresses and don't treat them like shit. You're in the goddamn South and you're on a wrestling television program. They're going to spit in on the food and they're going to treat us like shit.
I'm
so, of course, Andy Kaufman's whole character apologized to the waitress, and that's the story about how the great method actor Andy Kaufman broke his character.
I'll be goddamn. I'm just wondering what Stone Cold Steve Austin...
One time after WWE bought WCW, I went down, I got in my Chevy Chevrolet, and I drove down to the Shoney's there, and me and Big Papa Pup had a couple of cold beers. We had a couple of stacks of pancakes. A couple of sausage biscuits.
Oh,
I don't know
what
they serve at Shoney's, but yeah. This
all right,
brought
to
you by Shoney's.
All right, all right.
Yeah.
So let's get back to the show, guys.
One more thing about AEW before I go, because I know I got us off subject a little bit. It's wonderful that two 70-something-year-old men are able to wrestle on national television in Christian Cage and Matt Hardy. And I just want to say it's wonderful that they give these old folks wonderful TV airtime so they can do their bumps and their flips and entertain the crowd. And I just want to say thank you, God, Fatal 4-Way, for keeping me entertained on the long road to Oklahoma City there.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Dale.
I've been watching Dale for the last few weeks. I've been wondering if Dale was going to call because Albert never calls in on at the beginning. So I'm always like, maybe it'll be Dale that calls us.
Must be a full moon tonight. So continue on with the AEW report. The Murderhawk, Lance Archer, he's a fucking loser. I'm sorry.
Oh.
He's terrible. I'm sorry. Like, the guy says he's going to kill everybody, but he loses every fucking match that he's in. Can't win a fucking match. Guy's a fucking loser. You're being managed by Jake Roberts.
He wrestled
a fucking Dobner.
He won a match on Dark, I think. The guy he wrestled on Dark was Mantell, or Moonshine Mantell, goes as Ryan Greenus, too, I think. I think he beat Greenus in a Dark match.
They've
actually wrestled several times, dude. I've seen that match at the VFW Hall in Cypress, Texas, down here. I've seen those two dudes wrestle each other, like, twice, actually. So, and I've seen Archer like three times, and I think two of the times he wrestled that guy. So it was kind of cool seeing him in AEW like freaking 8 years later or something.
Yeah, but still, the guy's booked like a loser. Now
he's
gonna
face, especially your guy, and he's kind of a vet. Like, he has been around a long time, and they're still not doing a great job with him.
Yeah. So he's gonna challenge. He's gonna face Jon Moxley next week for the IWGP United States Championship in a Texas death match. Spoiler alert, people, he ain't fucking winning because he's a loser.
He might be winning.
I'm going to need an alert, dude. You're going to have to keep me alerted.
Yeah.
Let me know, hey, dude, fucking AEW's coming on now. Because I always
You're talking about Carl Anderson, right?
It comes at 8 o'clock Wednesday.
You're talking about Carl Anderson, right? He's facing Jon Moxley for the IWGP heavyweight title that we're on right now.
I thought they were talking about Murderhawk.
I really think AEW comes out on Wednesdays. But you understand, fucking WWE has been coming out on fucking Mondays and often Fridays for many, many, many fucking years, and it's engraved in my head. I still can't get this shit. And then with
this
fucking time change. And fucking, you know, it's still light outside and shit on a fucking Wednesday night.
Instead of fucking reminding me,
come inside to watch wrestling at 7 o'clock.
Quick comment about that. You know, Vince McMahon's like an excellent, like, marketing fucking genius, man. He drilled Monday into our heads. He even allowed Eric Bischoff and the WCW Nitro Bunch to drill Monday in our heads.
I didn't even think about it.
It's been on our edge for fucking years. Monday's wrestling night. Monday's wrestling night. Monday's not even fucking football night in my household. It's goddamn wrestling night. Excellent marketing tactic.
By the way, John Cena didn't raise the ratings that much either. He only raised like 2,000 people. So John Cena can't even bring up the ratings on your fucking show.
God. 2,000 people? That's it?
Jesus fucking, look, Christian, Jesus Christ himself could not raise the ratings on Monday Night Raw, unless it was Jesus Christ and Cactus Jack.
They'd be like,
you know
Jesus is fake, right?
Hey,
y'all know Jesus is fake, right? On WWE.
Oh,
stop
it. Oh, shit.
Anyway,
was that Dale
then?
Anyway,
let's
go to Joe. Any thoughts, Joe, on the madness? Joe, are you still with us, Joe?
Uh-oh.
Or are you on mute, maybe?
No, I'm with you. I'm sorry. No, I'm with you. Thoughts on who, Archer? I mean, Archer's shit, man. He's going to do that stupid moonsault off the fucking rope. He does it every match, and then he fucking loses every match he does.
He shouldn't call himself he shouldn't call himself the Murder Hawk. He doesn't murder anybody on the shows. Why is he called that?
And with Jake, you would think, I thought when they brought Jake in for him that he was going to dominate. Like, I thought that it was going to be like the second coming of Jake the Snake.
Jake Roberts doesn't do shit. He's also, he also sucks.
Yeah.
Hey, if you're going to be a murder hawk, at least, you know how the New Day goes around passing out, throwing cookies and shit and all kinds of shit into the audience, you know, pancakes and shit. If you're going to be a fucking murder hawk, at least go out to the ring throwing some fucking dead pigeons out, because that's what they're fucking known for. Hawks are fucking carnivorous, and they'll fuck up a pigeon, man.
And disclaimer, folks, we're talking about a show, by the way. It's not real, by the way, so don't get your titties in the piss, okay?
Yeah.
Talking about shows, all right?
We're a show talking about a show.
Yeah.
But
so,
I digress. Continue.
So next is the only thing that's important on the AEW report, and that's about it. Right now, the feud is finally happening that I've been calling for months. The Adam Page versus Kenny Omega feud, everybody. It's finally happening. Kenny Omega and Adam Page is finally happening for the world title. Hopefully, Adam Page wins, because if he doesn't, then who the fuck is left for Kenny Omega to face? Like, for real? For real, right now, this is real talk. If Adam Page is not the guy to beat Kenny Omega, who the fuck realistically right now on the roster can? That's the big question, right? It can't
Cody's
be Jericho.
They're gonna make a decision. Like they're gonna get rid of Cody's claws, and who's gonna fight him for the belt?
Well, the booking would actually make sense.
But that will make people hate Cody, because that will make them a fucking liar.
Let's go to Joe. What were you thinking? What were you saying?
No, I said if the booking would actually make sense, then that is your answer. The person who would beat him isn't on the roster. It would be someone they brought in and elevated right away. And then you walk into that Arthur Ashe stadium with a whole new champion no one expected, someone of big nature, right? Meltzer said something's big. That would be the way to do it.
It's a good time. And now it's time for Booking 101 with the Philly Lily with the Chili and the Willy, Christian from Philly.
If I had to pick somebody besides Adam Page, I would pick Bryan Danielson, a.k.a.
Oh, be goddamn it. Ooh.
Yes. I didn't think about it until now.
Bring him back
really
as Bryan Danielson?
I'm stupid.
Brian,
but yeah,
is that what you're saying?
It would be good.
Yeah, man, bring him back as Bryan Danielson, the American Dragon, Bryan Danielson.
Oh, man, I'm digging that. I'm digging the shit out of that.
That'd be sick.
Kenny Omega versus the American Dragon, Bryan Danielson, ROH.
It would be huge for AEW to have Bryan as their champion all of a sudden, like you said, Joe, like out of nowhere, like for Bryan to come in and just win the belt immediately would, like, be a huge boost for AEW. We all know, but still crazy. Even for him, like, we all figure that he's going to be on the show.
but I didn't think that they would put him. Thinking that they put him in the title picture right away is the most bad.
Let's
scenario.
Go to caller 832. You're on the line with Fatal 4-Way Radio. Welcome.
What has happened?
Yo, yo, what up, dude?
Yo.
It's me, Jaime. It's Jaime, dog.
Yo.
Local wrestling up in this bitch.
Ladies. Jaime. It's Jaime, baby. Because we're all high up in here. Jaime. Jaime.
Yeah. I'm actually sober this time around, so that's crazy.
Nice.
Yeah.
So what's going on,
guys?
Tell us about it, man.
Not a lot, dude. Yeah, tell us about it.
Bro, have you not? Dude, I haven't chopped up with y'all guys. We just did a collab show 2 weeks ago with Game Changer Wrestling. I don't know if any of y'all saw the pay-per-view.
Yeah, I watched it, and I kind of went over the matches last week, I think, with them. It was sick, dude. The pay-per-view presentation was really badass, too. Like, watching it from home, I've been to several of y'all shows live, but watching from home was still super fun and, like, recommended to anybody that can't go.
Definitely.
Yeah, man, the crowd was lit. I ain't going to lie.
Dude,
the crowd was extra, extra lit that day.
Nice.
Yeah, so, but other than
the
that, other than that, September 18th, Reggie is, dude, it's selling very well. I think we have like 10 front row tickets left. We've sold a crap load of second row, crap load of third row, and some general admission. So it's looking like another sellout.
How you doing?
Nice.
For
and
sure.
Reggie,
yeah.
We're talking about Reggie, the promoter or the
owner the event.
Of
we named it after. We named it after the boss of all bosses, dog, Reggie.
Nice.
This is the 1 year anniversary show, honey?
No, our year anniversary was the one with GW because
cool.
Our first show was July 9th. Our first show was July 9th. And they, a year later, dog, we're going one-on-one with GCW and our year anniversary.
Man, talk a little
September.
Bit about the September. Yeah, the September shows, Reggie. I was going to ask him to talk a little bit about the training that y'all been doing at the Premier Arena. Like, y'all run so many shows out of there, but now you, I see you advertising my training and stuff all the time.
Yeah, we're running every Tuesdays, and we're trying to get enough students to run Thursdays also. But it's like every Tuesday at the Houston Premier Arena at 7:30. The coaches are Pedro, a.k.a. Lowrider, Ninja Man.
Oh, yeah, that guy's fucking badass.
Oh, bro, let me ask you a question, dog. Does Ninja Mac deserve comeback of the year? Because he's been around for like 6-7 years. Or like, dude, he's had a hell of a year this year.
Bro, Ninja Mac is lit. Ninja Mac is pure fire. And
last time I saw him, yeah, he's killer, dude. I like that Ninja Mac.
He was throwing ninja stars at GCW. I hadn't seen that before. But no, dude, the guy's getting recognized, and it's well-deserved. Man, and he's the nicest dude. The first time we went to a Loco show, Ninja Mac, we all popped for him the first time we seen him. And we were cheering for him in our section, and he came back afterwards and was like, what size shirts do y'all wear? And he brought us all gear. He
gave
us like
hell.
3 or 4 shirts for free.
Oh, man, that's badass.
I've talked to him every time. He's just a nice dude and like a proper baby face, and like every time he wrestles a match, the story that he tells is like all of his matches have respect at the end of them kind of shit.
I want to see him.
Yeah, bro.
I want to see him.
I can't wait for y'all to see his opponent for September 18th, and it's going to be the very first match on the card, bro. I can't let y'all know who it is, because I'm going to drop it in mid-August because I've already dropped too much heat for everybody. I got to wait. You know what I mean? Because, dude, I've already dropped 3 matches, guys. I dropped Mil Muertes versus Cuervo de Puerto Rico. I've Mecha Wolf versus Savio Vega. And then I got Dante Leon versus Chris Carter for the local heavyweight championship. So right now until August, dog, because
Carter's
the
match
next
with Jason Lloyd, I plugged to these guys real hard, and I was telling my friends the other night, because I got it on my fight app, so I was like, I'll pull it up so y'all can watch. But that match with Lloyd was so crazy, where he the finish to that match was like a wild bump, and Carter's just done something crazy like that every time. So
yeah, I know I was really a lot of people were invested into that. That kind of that was like the storyline, kind of like in the whole that whole situation, like the whole feud with them. And then a lot of the local fans were really invested into that match.
Yeah, definitely from home.
That's
I was,
awesome,
I was like,
man.
This is the match. This is the actual GCW versus Loco match. From what I took away from it, I was like, this is the one that counts.
But the one thing that sucks, I'm going to let you know, guys, I had no choice into who was winning or losing whatsoever, bro. So that was all Brett Lauderdale.
Well, it was
so super
well done. All your guys, Carter came away looking great from that match. Dude, Sadika has gotten so much love over the last few weeks for that match with Nick Gage. I just see Sadika's name popping up all the time. And on Reddit, I see you guys popping up and a lot of y'all's people, and I see it, like, in the live chat, too. When I was watching the show, there was a bunch of people in there on Fight just talking. So the shit's getting out there. Like, you guys keep getting that live stream going, and people will fucking go crazy for y'all. Have y'all done live stream before? Was this the first time y'all were on Fight?
That's our first IPPV with those guys, and I was actually kind of, like, observing and asking questions because – that's something I'm considering for November, not the September, because I asked Title Match to do a live stream of this, and he's too busy. I think he booked himself for like four other events, so I can't do a live stream. But for November, most definitely, it's in the books because, oh my God, dude! Like, I've already reached out to some heavy hitters for that November show, so I'm blowing my whole wad in November.
hell.
because everybody thinks I'm blowing my wad in September. If y'all think that I'm blowing my wad in September 18th, when you see the full card, y'all think that every match is going to be main event caliber. Anywhere in Texas, any of those matches can be like main events. But once you see what's the first and the main event, y'all going to be like, Jaime's fucking going crazy, dude. You know what I mean? Like,
for real.
Right?
Hey,
One name that's kind of sticking out to me that you mentioned earlier. Now, all these guys are great fucking talent, but Savio fucking Vega, man, that's something else, dude, because, you know, he's kind of known as an old school, like, WWF guy, and maybe like old school. I think he was in Carlos Colon's Puerto Rican wrestling for a while, too, like back in the day. So he's out here and he's doing indie dates now. Is that what's going on?
He's been doing indies. But the thing is the reason why I booked Savio Vega and Mecha Wolf is because I wanted to do it for all my Boricuas, dog. You know what I mean? Like, straight the fuck up. Like, we have a lot of local wrestling fans that are Puerto Rican, and they've been sliding to my DMs asking for
Puerto Rican, and a lot of the guys you brought in from Puerto Rico.
Dude, like, four guys are Puerto Rican. Mil Muertes is Puerto Rican.
Cuervo.
Obviously, Cuervo. Savio and Mecha. And I got
some
surprises for December
18th,
too.
Sick promos. Cuervo and Mecha Wolf both did sick promos for you the first time that they came. And I remember those promo videos. They were badass.
Oh, they're already working. All four of them are working on promos because we're getting a lot of coverage in Puerto Rico because we're doing all the matches they should be doing in Puerto Rico. But we're doing them here at local wrestling.
Nice.
Yeah, so we're getting so much, like, love from the press over there because they were like, we're the only company that has the balls to put on some of these matches.
You reckon it's time for Loco to expand and maybe do a little show down there in Puerto Rico or what?
No, not yet. It's still growing. That's why we didn't want to do the Mexico show. But you know what? Since y'all having me on y'all podcast, I'm gonna drop that match off with Ninja Mac. I'm gonna let y'all know right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh shit.
Okay. The very first match
man.
At September 18th is gonna be Ninja Mac versus Loki.
Ninja Mac versus Loki. Yeah.
Yes. And that's going to be the very first match of September 18th.
Negro, that's all you had to say.
Yeah, baby.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Ninja Mac.
Yeah, I haven't dropped it yet, but I'm giving y'all an exclusive, guys.
Oh, man, greatly appreciated, dude. And that's September 18th at the, what's the name of the arena? The
Houston Premier Arena.
The Houston Premier Arena. Get your tickets now. Local wrestling. Man, dude, we appreciate you calling in.
That's going to be a crazy match.
Man, that's
It's going to be crazy,
he's
man.
Like the only guy.
Hey, before I let y'all go, guys, I want to let y'all know that July 31st, they're going to have this Texas Wrestling Showcase at the Houston Premier Arena where all these badass companies are, you know, are, I guess, combining their forces to throw one hell of a show July 31st.
July 31st. All right.
Yes. And the main event is going to be Davey Richards versus Brian Keith.
Nice.
Damn.
Yeah.
Nice.
Man, a lot of Houston wrestling, dude. And thank you for being a part of that. And thank you for
Brian
thinking
Keith
about
got
us.
So much love at that show, too, dude.
Wait. How could it be Davey Smith if he just worked a dark match on SmackDown?
No. Davey Richards.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And guys, you heard it here first, September 18th at the Houston Premier Arena, Ninja Mac versus Low-Key to start out the night. Oh,
yes, sir. Oh my God. Hey, if it ain't loco, it ain't fire, bro.
Goddamn right. And you know what, bro? Honestly, I'm sitting here drinking my Modelo Chelada Limón y Sal in my local, and this is a 24-ounce, baby. I don't fuck around with the 12-ounce can. In my local wrestling sleeve. So thank you very much, Jaime. Yes, my koozie.
Yeah.
And thank you for calling in, brother. And by the way, Kevin.
I really appreciate it. Thanks, guys, for having me.
Right on, ladies and gentlemen. Give
thanks,
it up
Jaime.
For... Yeah? Thank you, Jaime. Yes, ladies and gentlemen,
I
give it up for
it,
Jaime. Local
have a good night.
Baby. Right. He's not even... He's... And guys, that was just a preview. Because think about it. In November, he's going to blow his whole wad, man.
He's got more matches to drop for Reggie, too.
Oh, my God.
He's got a handful of more matches to drop for the show.
Right. So definitely Reggie is going to be badass, man. I'm fucking stoked for that, dude. I got to go. I got to go see that, dude. That's badass. And just that fucking first match alone, Ninja Mac versus Low-Key, that's going to be killer, bro. That's going to be killer.
No more tag in there is awesome. Both of the guys, all the guys from Puerto Rico he talked about are sick. So
everything that
I've
seen there inside that arena has been badass every time that I've gone.
Houston Premier Arena has so many wrestling shows going on that, like, we got to go check out more of them.
Absolutely. So, guys, let's take a break proper right now. Take a little break. We're going to come back, and we're going to do the, of course, we've got the WWE report to go still. And maybe a little bit more shit to talk about. Who knows? But we'll be right back.
Yeah, we have to find out. We have to find out who won the predictions for the pay-per-view.
Yes, all that. Oh, all shit. That madness. It's a bunch of madness, guys. And, of course, you know, we had the return of Keith Lee and all kinds of shit. But we're going to talk about it when we come back after these words on Fatal 4-Way Radio. Right. Looking for a wild show about your precious Dallas Cowboys? Check out the Puro Pinche Cowboys Podcast, Season 2, coming soon, only on the World Generation Podcast Network. Stay tuned for more. Puro Pinche Cowboys! Puro Pinche Cowboys! Podcast. Fire Cigars. Come on in and enjoy the game. Come on in and relax with friends. Come on in and light them up at Friendly Fire Cigars, where they carry top brands such as Arturo Puente, VAO, Romeo and Julieta, Avo, Monte Cristo, Ashton, and many, many more. Friendly Fire Cigars, where they have amenities such as comfortable leather seating, 4 HD TVs with 4 separate cable receivers, Netflix, Wi-Fi, cigar locker rental, patio seating, and much, much more. Where do you want to go? Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire Cigars. 1905 South Derry Asher. Friendly Fire Cigars. Get there.
Last week's SmackDown was the lowest rating again, 1.7. So yeah. That's where we have right now, huh? That's where we have right now in the era, huh?
In there.
But not even your fucking tribal chief is raising the ratings no more, motherfuckers. There you go.
There's
fucking go.
Christian from Philly. Only the Fatal Four-Way Radio.
Welcome back, Fatal 4-Way Radio. Resident Heel, Minister of Sinister here with the Unusual Suspects, and we're talking about a lot of things wrestling. And, you know, by the way, I'd like to thank Joe for calling in and all of our other listeners. I also would like to send out a big thank you to Senpai, a friend from India, supports the show over there in India and spreads the word of Fatal 4-Way Radio, and that makes us very popular in India. Thank you so much, Senpai. Guys, welcome back. Man, what a hell of a show we've had tonight.
Senpai noticed.
We had a great show tonight, guys. Have we? Have we not? Pretty good.
I think so.
Yeah.
I love it. I've been drinking the Modelos. I haven't switched over
but
yet.
But we also
haven't
talked that much about... We haven't talked about WWE that much yet. Christian,
you know what, dude?
That's
the thing. And when we start talking about WWE, that's when it all gets fucked up. But you know what? I actually kind of like a lot of things that happened in WWE this week. But right now, we're going to turn it over to the watchdog.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the Swami, Christian from Philly, with this week's WWE report. Swami?
You're fucking lying to yourself. You're lying. You're lying to yourself. What happened these past 2 days have been bullshit. What happened these past 2 days have been bullshit. It's been bullshit, bullshit, bullshit.
I prefer horseshit,
so
bro.
It's horseshit.
A bunch of horseshit.
So we start things off on Raw with fucking John Cena coming out doing his promo. The only time the fans were actually excited, in my opinion.
They were so excited. They popped so hard.
Now, John Cena cut his regular promo.
I missed it. We missed
John Cena cut his promo saying that, you know, he's tired of Roman Reigns' bullshit, the Roman Reigns experience. Well, you know why that promo was good? Because he stole it from me. Because I've been saying this on this show that the Roman Reigns experience sucks. So guess what? John Cena's a thief. He stole his promo from me. This is all my material. John Cena's a plagiarist.
What did he say? He said, like, I think Roman Reigns an asshole or something like that. What did he say? I think he's a... He called him...
Yeah, wait a minute.
He said Roman's an asshole. He said Roman Reigns is overhyped.
Huh? Christian said John Cena copied him.
Oh, oh my God, stop it!
No, he did.
He did say that.
He said the
but
same
you know,
things. I.
Well, yeah, you know
he
what?
Said
because
the same
of course
things.
He listens to the show. First of all,
he's, yeah.
We've given plenty of examples where, you know, we talk about something one day and then the next thing you know, they turn around and do it. And here's one thing, you know, Cena was talking right there about, you know, basically talking about himself.
He's doing the same thing. He did the exact same promo he did facing Bray Wyatt. So it's not an original promo. He said the exact same thing when he said when he was facing Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania.
Cena does it
to everybody.
It's Cena's way of challenging somebody because Cena's playing that tough guy thug kind of gimmick, and he's like, "Oh, you can't see me. Like you ain't, you're dumb."
I think it's
that. Like he challenged.
I had heard that promo before, but it felt like I had heard it from The Rock.
Yeah, I think it's cowardly.
Cena. At WrestleMania, what was it, 2011?
Yeah.
When he
first, I think it's pretty
cowardly. Because, you know, WrestleMania 2011, Rock came out, and he was a heel.
Yeah.
He cut that promo.
No,
regardless of fans, no, he was a heel. Regardless, he ended up being a heel that night when he fucking took out John Cena for The Miz. He went in as a heel.
He
that promo he cut in the beginning of that WrestleMania was a heel promo. You can't change my mind.
No. Cena was about to fucking hit him first, and then The Rock counters. It was Cena who was going to hit him first.
Well, I don't know about all that. Rock
was
a fucking heel in
that
promo in the beginning.
The people cheered for The Rock when he got rock bottom.
Of course they cheered for him. They were confused. And by this time, WWE had already bastardized the whole fucking heel fucking babyface shit.
Honestly,
we weren't confused. He was a face. Cena was about to attack first.
People nowadays,
and
even back then in 2011, were strongly identifying with heels. And Rock was being one of those fucking, to me, he was being a fucking borderline, you know, like a heel.
Yeah.
No.
Like
he was not a
heel.
He was still talking. He was still talking with the fans. Yeah, let's move on.
All right, so we agree to disagree. Let's move on.
Yeah. Speaking of Roman Reigns, before we go on, the fans in the crowd still hate Roman Reigns, by the way.
Oh, yeah, it's obvious.
You think? Yeah, so this Roman Reigns experience is a failure. It's a failure. You know why? Because during the pay-per-view, when they had a segment on Money in the Bank where the Usos and Roman Reigns were in the same room, guess what the fans were chanting? I want you all to take a wild guess here.
You can't wrestle. You still can't wrestle.
No. That was not. That was during the Edge match. They were chanting, "Boring, boring, boring, boring."
I had my TV. My speaker system set up to where I could hear the crowd badass and shit. And man, the crowd was fucking brutal, man. They were dissing the shit. And a Roman Reigns.
With all due respect, fuck the fans every time they try to do something like that and get over and shit on the. I don't know.
You know
I don't think that everything deserves a boring.
That's great. No, wait a minute.
Dude.
That's a great question, though. Albert, do you think that the fans were just fucking doing that to fucking get themselves over at the pay-per-view? Could it be?
Getting themselves over?
Yeah, you know,
I don't think the fans are trying to get themselves over. I genuinely think that
they
hate the character Roman Reigns. They don't hate the man Roman Reigns. They just hate Roman Reigns. No fan goes in there and I mean, unless it's like a fucking, I don't know, like a WrestleMania type show or something like that where the fans are just.
You don't think it's conceivable that they're all
bored? I mean, it's just so rude to
the character sucks.
But if they really hate the character and want the character gone, I get it. But I didn't see it that way, and I didn't see that particularly, and I don't see Roman in that light either, so it blows my mind kind of an arena full of people hate Roman.
I heard it, okay?
Dude, they cheered for everybody. They, no,
They cheered for everybody. They even gave Charlotte a mixed cheers. But Roman's the only fucking... They even cheered the Usos at the pay-per-view.
All right, bro, calm down. I don't want you to fucking have a heart attack. Calm
well, that's
the fuck
awesome.
Down.
That's fucking great for WWE then. He's a fucking A-plus heel. He's an A-plus heel. He's doing...
As a baby face, no less. Much like John
Cena. Doing
not.
His job. He's doing his job building whatever match it is who's going to beat him and dethrone him and all this shit.
No, because the whole point of him turning heel was to get him cheered. That was the whole point. That was the whole point.
I don't think that Roman's hurting for cheers or for fans. I don't think that Roman's hurting for fans.
That's kind of what we speculated. That's kind of what we speculated early, a few months back was the fact that they turned him heel so that he can get, like, tweener heat, but I don't think that's, or not tweener heat, I'm sorry, so he can get like a cheered, like heel cheered, kind of like how Ric Flair or Steve Austin at the time, like whatever, but I don't think that's what they're doing, because I mean, if they did, he'd be more of a fucking, he'd be more of a tweener.
They're going full-blown heat magnet with him. That's why every time he talks, he's a son of a bitch, and he's a fucking malicious asshole, you know what I mean?
I want to make a point here, and that is that Roman Reigns, regardless of what we say here, regardless of what Christian says, okay, have you seen, like, the way people talk about him, and I'm talking about his peers? His peers, they don't have a problem putting him over, it seems.
And that's fine. I'm not talking about the person. I'm just talking about the character.
I'm talking about,
so
like,
the people
for example,
are doing
John
the character.
Cena's going to come here, and he's going to put him over. You have to understand the way this business
that's
works.
That's fine.
They don't have to fucking do the job. They don't have to fucking do it. They don't have to agree to shit. John Cena didn't have to fucking agree to come in and fucking lose to Roman Reigns. Edge didn't have to fucking come in, didn't have to agree to it. Edge, particularly, wants to put Roman over. Have you not
fine.
Seen
I'm
what
not,
he
I,
said?
I have nothing. I'm just saying that the character sucks. The character sucks. They don't like it.
I hear your opinion on Roman too, dude, but like what I'm on here every week saying too is that I think there is people that like Roman. I met the one I was saying last week. I met a kid. I don't know if I told you on the show. But I met a kid at work that had a Roman Reigns shirt on, and he was, like, going to SmackDown in Houston that night. And he was, like, a 12-year-old kid. And I was like, oh, you like Roman, dude? He's like, yeah. I was like, even though him and his cousins are all jerks and they beat everybody up all the time, they're not nice. He's like, yeah, dude. And I was like, okay. Like, I was like,
hey, sometimes you got to be a jerk.
I've had, like, 3 or 4 little kids tell me they love Roman Reigns. So
that's
I think that even though he's a bad guy, I think that he's doing his job really well.
That's
fine.
If you hate the character, in a certain wrestling application.
We all know that in 15 years, Roman Reigns is going to go do a shitty little Hollywood movie and come back and get cheered out of a fucking arena.
No, bro. It's not going to be that long. It's not going to be that long. It's not going to be that long.
Honestly, and like it just happened too. I mean, like when he had when he was out for leukemia, I mean, like his reaction was amazing when he came back. I mean, the pop, but you know, it was like immediately after was like, okay, we're back to fucking shitty ass Roman again. Everybody boo him. You know what I mean? Like people like and I think it's a weird era in wrestling too because people can separate the character from the actual person. So I think, like, if fans were to meet Roman Reigns in person, they'd be all excited. Of course they are. You know what I mean? Like, holy shit, it's Roman Reigns. Let's take a picture. Can I get an autograph? You know what I mean? And that's just how it's been. But the character, like we're talking about, the character sucks. And, like, just like Christian said, the character fucking sucks. And so something needs to be either changed or continue with it because people want to see him get his ass beat eventually.
But what sucks
what
about
do
the
you
character?
Do with his
what,
character to make
Roman
his
Reigns,
character not
it,
suck?
What is it
this
that
is
sucks
a bloodline storyline. It's a bloodline
How about have him stop being helped every fucking match? Have him actually be a fucking monster.
That's heel heat. That's classic old school wrestling heel heat to have people interfere in the matches.
But not for a fucking big jacked up guy like fucking Roman Reigns.
No,
it makes it more. It makes it more. It's heel heat. I'm just with with all due respect, like, because they do it, because he's a big dude, like, it's more heat. You know what I mean? Like, they do
it's
that.
Basic shit. I mean, it's basic shit that I've seen since I was a kid. They did this shit with, like, Moondog Maine and the Maine family and all that shit.
Yeah. I know San Martino held the belt for how many years? Bruno San Martino carried the fucking belt, and he probably did similar shit, too.
It's kind of what we're talking about, too. If Bruno was around now and he was champion for that many days, he'd be booed out of the fucking Madison Square Garden in about 3 seconds,
mm-hmm.
man. You know what I mean? Like,
so Roman's almost coming up on a year.
Oh, yeah,
but,
for sure.
But
yeah,
I don't know. I just don't think that Roman's character sucks. I think that the stuff Roman's doing now is the best work he's ever done. And if it think of what he's done in the past, because I think this is better than all that. I mean, the Shield is different because the Shield was those three guys. But
all right, here we go. Get Roman a bandana, a red bandana, some sunglasses, and a goddamn Harley Davidson. Have him ride it out to the fucking ring, and I will cheer the man.
My God.
But what's the payoff here? A tag match with Rock and Jimmy Uso versus Jay and him at WrestleMania? That's the payoff?
Yeah, it doesn't even seem like a single match now that you say that. Yeah, no, yeah, I don't know.
No,
I don't know what the payoff
this
is.
This is a payoff.
I'm not worried about the payoff personally.
Yeah,
and you know, I also am on board with Roman Reigns. I think this is the best work he's done in his career.
All right,
and I'm sorry Christian.
We're not coming down on you. We're not attacking you.
Yeah,
but I'm just
no,
talking
you're
about it because I feel
I don't like it.
The opposite. So
but anyway,
I
digress. Let's move on. Let's move on to Roman.
Yeah.
Anyway, Raw was shit. Let's continue. we opened with a six-man tag. It was nothing. It was just Matt Riddle and the Viking Raiders. Still no Randy Orton for some reason. Versus who was it? It was Omos, AJ Styles, and Morrison. Morrison lost because Omos thought Miz squirted him in the back, so it was stupid. Pointless match. Then
a bunch of that lately.
Yeah, on the live crowd, in front of the live crowd, by the way. Then we had another repeat match. Jackson Riker versus Elias in a Sympathy of Destruction. Why was this necessary? Why was this necessary? I mean, don't get me wrong. That suplex with the double table spot was sick. But seriously, why was this shit necessary? Why did he have to repeat this match again? Who gives a fuck? Jackson Riker's not going to get over. Horrible in front of fans. That's horrible. Then we go to fuckery. We go to fuckery immediately, right? We go to Charlotte Flair cutting a promo. By God, she's the Raw Women's Champion, by the way. By God.
By the way, we've lost out on Inspector in case anybody
don't worry.
Is wondering.
Don't worry, he'll come back. By God, this promo was horrendous, right? She got fucking buried in the crowd. The crowd
Who?
Do not give a fuck. The Who? Charlotte. Charlotte. Charlotte got buried by the crowd, all right? The crowd, does not give a fuck about this feud between Rhea Ripley and Charlotte. Because they care about Becky. They want Becky. They wanted Becky to come back, all right? They were chanting Becky's name. And then Rhea Ripley shows up,
they were still chanting her name.
Yeah. They do not give a fuck about this story.
The thing that makes me say the opposite is that during the match at the end, I think the crowd was really hot for that match at the end of the show.
No, they were hot. At the end of the show. But when during the show, they were walking out of the arena. They do not give a fuck about this story.
Oh yeah.
So Rhea comes out.
Are we still on Raw?
Yeah, we're on Raw. This happened on Raw last night. Rhea shows up, she demands a rematch for the Raw Women's title, and then she got it by asking, so we had a rematch for it, right?
Then we go to the stupidest, fucking disappointing, frustrating moment of the whole night, right? The champion, the WWE champion, Bobby Lashley, calls out an open challenge, right? After he decimately buries Kofi Kingston last night, two nights ago. And who
comes out? I
gotta
disagree with that. I disagree with that burial. It needed to happen.
No, it needed to happen, but the outcome is shit, all right?
Well, it's shit for Kofi Kingston, but, you know, at the end of the day, he agreed to it.
No, not Kofi Kingston. What happened on Raw? I'm talking about what happened on Raw. I'm not talking about Kofi Kingston, right? I'm talking about when Kofi Kingston got decimated. I'm talking about what happened on Raw.
You said that Kofi got buried by Lashley, and so Chuck was saying that he got buried.
I didn't say he was buried. I'm saying he got beat up, buried in a squash match. I'm just saying that.
Yeah. I heard you say that on your show, which, by the way,
I didn't.
You can go back and check out in the archives of Beautiful Radio. I understand that you don't like that he lost and the way he lost and shit, bro. But
I don't like squash matches on pay-per-views in general because it's a waste of time. They could have just done it on a Raw or, you know, whatever.
No. Okay.
Yeah, sorry, guys.
My
phone cut off there. But we need more calling in here. I'm having a couple of beers. And I think we need more truck drivers to call in here. If we can get some more truck drivers coming.
Yeah.
If you're out there in America right now, not just truck drivers, anybody in general. It doesn't have to be a truck driver. Any sort of job.
Is Joe still with us?
Joe is gone. We lost Joe a little while ago.
Cool.
Thanks
for calling in again.
Bye, Joe. Thanks for calling in, Joe. So who answers Bobby Lashley's call? It was not...
Who answered the call?
Why?
Let's see.
Dale, stop calling.
Welcome to Fatal 4-Way Radio. Minister of Sinister here. What's going on? Hello?
Oh! It's me, Minister! Percy Pringle!
Everybody's on Dale.
I'm calling from the afterlife.
Hang up on that fucker.
The fuck out of here.
Hold
on. Here's another one.
I don't know who was calling.
361-343, you're on the air live with Fatal 4-Way Radio. What's going on, guys? Area code 36. Oh, they dropped off. Oh, hell.
All right, now I can continue. The person who answered Bobby Lashley's challenge was none other than Keith Lee, basking his fucking glory.
Oh,
except he was not fucking glorious. He was disappointment.
That home state return too. He comes back in Texas and loses hard.
First of all, I think he gained more weight. He came back, and I think he gained more weight. Because you could tell, because 5 minutes into the fucking match, he was already blown up. He was already blown up. 5 minutes.
He looked like he was a biscuit shy of 320, is what I saw.
I was watching. They said in the match that he weighed 320. Because Bobby tried to deadlift him, and they said that he was 320.
Three, you're on the air with Fatal 4-Way Radio. What's going on? Tell us about it.
So Roman Reigns doesn't need anything. All of y'all are just haters because he just needs less clothes.
Oh, wow.
Wait a minute. What about Roman Reigns?
Who the fuck is this? I've been listening for a while. I am calling from America.
America.
Welcome to
America.
The show.
America.
Yes.
America.
Yes.
Welcome to the
America.
Show.
America.
My God, it's a woman.
Oh, God.
And what was the comment on Roman Reigns?
That he needs less clothes.
He needs less.
You think
clothes.
He needs to wear like
it doesn't
one.
Matter. It doesn't matter what he does. Like it doesn't really matter. It's just that
you,
when
you,
like
you know,
him,
like,
people like him.
Like Randy
yeah.
Orton and
yeah.
Randy Orton.
There's a couple of guys like since
he can do anything.
Wear this speedo and it looks like they're naked out there. I'm
no,
like,
wait
are these guys?
She brings up a valid point, guys, because just this
what are you?
Just last week, actually, we were talking about Alexa Bliss and how some asshole was fucking comparing her ass from her NXT days to her current ass.
Here she is.
And then this week, Alexa Bliss debuted a new outfit that she was no longer wearing the skirt and the long shorts. She was showing a little bit of ass cheek there, guys.
Kind of like a fuck
you
to the fans, yeah.
And you know, hey, I was all about it myself. Caller,
oh
my well, did you think? What did you think about the Alexa Bliss, the new outfit? Should she be showing more? Should she be showing more skin as well?
Everyone should show more skin.
Yes. Yes.
You know,
that would all be lovely.
You could just Google. You can commission a private match. I think Seth Rollins used to do those.
All right, so anyway, Bobby Lashley tried to lift Keith Lee. Bobby Lashley couldn't lift Big E because he almost dropped on the crowd of fans. That's how heavy Keith Lee got.
Yeah, he did
so
almost drop.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
And then Keith Lee lost. Like a sorry sack of shit that he is.
Just like that.
So you got
me.
I'm talking
Talk about my Keith friends Lee. Like that.
Keith Lee's dead. His career is dead. Guy
Keith
was blown
Keith
up
Lee.
5 minutes
so
ago.
It's terrible, man.
Keith Lee needs a little bit more skin. What do you think? Keith Lee, a little bit more skin for Keith Lee? Why not?
Yes.
I mean, why the hell not?
Rob,
that's
Lee.
What I'm saying. The guy. The thing about Keith Lee, man, is it made me realize, like, shit. He's one of these guys that they're hoarding. You know what I mean? He's one of these guys that they're just fucking keeping around because they don't want him to go and be great somewhere else.
And you know what
he doesn't
doing
look
Proxy
what do you
too,
think?
Bro? You know what they're doing with guys like that? They're taking the best years of their life away from them. They're taking the best years of their career right away from them.
These
guys were over like Rover on the Indies. All these guys, Aleister Black on the Indies was over like Rover.
Oh,
he was the biggest
God.
Thing since Daniel Bryan. And they look what they did to my boy. And then Keith Lee's the same way. Keith Lee's a Texas boy. He was down here like running all the Indies, like just like getting over and like Matt Riddle, on the other hand, you know, Matt Riddle got over. Matt Riddle is an exception. Like, Matt Riddle's doing really well.
Bro.
Yeah.
Some of these guys.
Bro.
Keith Lee barely got a crowd reaction when he came out. He barely
Caller.
Got a crowd reaction when he fucking.
361-343, where are you calling from tonight, man? Miss?
America.
Should I call you Miss? I think Miss.
She said America.
From San Diego.
America. Oh, from America.
San Diego.
America.
Nice.
From America.
San Diego. And how
I mean,
are
Matt
things
Riddle
up there?
A lot of skin. He doesn't wear shoes.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah, he doesn't wear shoes. There you go. He is showing a lot of skin. You're right. Is Matt Riddle showing appropriate skin for you, miss?
Stop.
I don't know. Anyway, right after the match, it fucking happened, everybody. The thing I've been saying for fucking a whole month has finally happened. Fucking Bill Goldberg, the 54-year-old fucking loser, comes out, and now it's confirmed it's going to be Bobby Lashley versus Goldberg, everybody. There's your SummerSlam match. I hope you have fucking fun.
Don't you talk about my San Antonio brother like that, man. Bill Goldberg's a San Antonio staple now. He's like San Antonio Spurs living here. He's like a boy.
I don't give a fuck. Nobody fucking likes this fucking guy no more. The guy's legacy is destroyed, all right? People used to like him, but now ever since the whole Undertaker shit, people can't fucking stand his ass. Ever since he buried the Fiend, people can't stand his ass. Nobody wants to see this fucking
guy wrestle. The crowd was doing the Goldberg chant, dude. The crowd fell for it.
here's the thing that pissed me off the most. But here's the thing that pissed me off the most, guys. Motherfucker comes out, couldn't even dye his fucking beard. Couldn't even grow it long enough to fucking dye his fucking beard and shit. Coming out with fucking white hairs. Not showing enough fucking skin. Not showing enough fucking skin. All he's done is take a
national bottle just for
at the very least, he could do is show some more fucking skin.
Why do they always give this fucking guy a title shot every time he comes back? Why?
You have to understand, bro.
Yeah.
At the end of the day. No. Hear me out. At the end of the day, bro, he's fucking Goldberg. He sold out many a fucking, he's put many of asses in seats. He's done this
matter.
Shit.
John Cena could put fucking asses in seats.
People are going to fucking tell their kids, their 9-year-old kids, their 10-year-old kids, we got to go see Goldberg. You know, these fucking marks out there that fucking grew up loving Goldberg. Now, all of a sudden,
you know what?
They guess what? They have children. Some of some of them have children.
I said this once, I'll say before.
I got it.
When you bring back a part-timer, and everybody knows it, when you bring back a part-timer like that, it's in their eyes, right, in the company's eyes, you bring back a part-timer, whether it's a world championship match or a match against Lesnar or a match against fucking Big E or anything, it doesn't really matter, right? What you're doing is you're getting more people that are gonna buy the pay-per-view or you know, pay for a subscription to Peacock, the NBC network, by the way, which is now, I don't know how much it is. You're having interest in lapsed fans that are gonna bring a little bit more eyes to the product.
Yeah.
Whether had he not been there, not only does his opponent benefit from it, but also the other lower card guys, the guys that are just coming up, you know what I mean? Like everybody's benefiting on this pay-per-view, just having Goldberg there. And I'm not saying he's the best wrestler, he's the best shape of his life.
There's a boxing fight happening on the same night.
Yeah.
Dude, nobody fucking watches. No, nobody watches boxing anymore. That's the thing.
Yeah,
nobody fucking
watches boxing. I think most WWE
fans
go to Peacock.
Have you not seen the numbers for the fucking Have you not seen the fucking numbers for Logan Paul versus Mayweather? That fucking made millions.
Yeah.
That was Logan Paul versus Mayweather. You put any other Joe Schmo in there that's got the WBC World Heavyweight title, whoever has the WBC title right now, versus Joe Schmo, the fucking Golden Gloves guy. Nobody's gonna fucking buy that pay-per-view. Boxing
is a
sport.
I don't know how to
wrestle. And I hate to say it, because I'm a little opinionated right now because I'm in my cups a little bit. But boxing is a dead sport. And you know what?
Oh my god!
They have to resort to hiring Jake Paul and the Paul YouTubers to fight Floyd Money Mayweather to get fucking ratings up. That's the only way they're gonna fucking do it. So go ahead, WBC, get another goddamn boxer. I'm sorry, not a boxer, a YouTuber, fucking somebody popular with fucking millions of views, and put them on. And that's the only way they're gonna fucking jump anything.
Albert cutting promo right now.
Nobody wants to see fucking Goldberg versus Bobby Lashley. They all wanted fucking Brock Lesnar versus Bobby.
Time
they all
that,
wanted.
We're gonna put that.
That's what happens. On the air, by the way.
They all wanted to see Lesnar versus Lashley. They didn't want to see this fucking old fuck facing Bobby Lashley. Nobody wants to see this.
What does the caller think? Is the caller still with us? Caller, what do you think of Goldberg?
I know who Mayweather is. I would watch Mayweather.
Yeah. He was in WWE. He fought Big Show, I think, right?
Yes, he fought Big Show.
But no, I'm saying, like, with Goldberg, what do you think? Do you think Goldberg is a draw for SummerSlam? Are you excited to see Goldberg and Lashley? Do you care about that feud?
I would love to see Goldberg. I would be there with a big poster that says, like, Goldberg.
Hell yeah.
Goldberg all day. All night.
No.
So my take about Goldberg.
So you would want Goldberg to win that match? You would want Goldberg to walk away the WWE champion?
Yeah, I'd buy his toy at Walmart.
Yeah. Damn. But Lashley, you don't feel the same way. You don't think Lashley stands up to
I think he could stand up to anybody because he's Goldberg.
Yeah,
no,
Lashley, you think Lashley doesn't have a chance. Goldberg lost like a chump a few times. I've seen Goldberg like totally get his ass whooped in WWE. So WWE canon Goldberg
is that's probably a very good professional opinion. But that's marketing wise, he would make them a lot of money.
Yeah. That makes
Lashley's not winning. I think that Bobby Lashley and
MVP have looked really great in the last few shows, like pay-per-view wise, just like for a long time they've looked better and better. And I think that Bobby Lashley is like a monster heel that could outlast and like keep being the champion. But
he's
I have no problem with Bobby. I don't want Bobby to lose this match.
I have no problem with Bobby. I just don't want to see this fucking match in SummerSlam. It's not a SummerSlam match. It sucks. Anyway, moving on. We got the main event on the show. Moving on. Because, you know, the show fucking is getting hijacked. You know. To the main event of the show on Raw, we had, oh, by the way, Alexa Bliss is going to feud with Eva Marie for SummerSlam. Have fun with that. That's going to be a good fucking feud. That's going to put
kudos on that new outfit.
It's a really popular show tonight, by the way. It's been a very odd, popular show tonight. What, does nobody out there have anything to do besides listen to us ramble on?
Bro.
Yeah.
I would appreciate all the callers.
I didn't even get to read the viewer mail. That alone is, oh my gosh, the viewer mail alone is man, it's very entertaining. But
anyway, we go to the main event.
Alexa promos are good, dude. The Alexa and Eva and Dewdrop promos are all funny. And the promo overall with Lily, where Lily tripped her.
No,
and she
she's
like,
oh, I
don't want to
see
that there.
Fucking match. This is not a match for SummerSlam.
I mean,
sure it is.
Maybe it's not for you, Christian.
I think it's funny and good. Like, I just think that, like, if you view it a little,
she's supposed not supposed to be funny. She's supposed to be a monster.
But she is, and at the same time, it's like funny.
She's not doing anything that's creepy or like supernatural or shit. She's not doing anything.
Don't speak too soon, dude. Lily's back. This is the first week that Lily's back. I was scared.
Oh,
Nobody gave a fuck about the doll when she showed up.
The crowd didn't give a fuck when the doll showed up.
She's kind of cute. Lily is not scary.
The crowd didn't give a fuck when
Lily is not even scary. She's kind of cute.
This show has been... The crowd, no one gives a fuck about the doll. The crowd didn't give a fuck about the doll.
Yeah, I don't think
can we get a sound clip?
I was paying attention
to that. Can we get a sound clip of even saying that, Chuck, to use for, like, further, you know what I mean, for further shows of Kevin saying that exact line?
Lily is not even scary. She's kind of cute. It's a sound clip. He already sound clipped.
I like Lily is not even scary. She's kind of cute.
I loved the crowd last night because they were smart people. They're not buying into this shit. They're smart people.
Naya?
They're not buying into this shit.
I was just saying, I don't think that they played the crowd noise was going on. I noticed that it was like silent whenever the whole Lily segment was going on.
That's, by the way, that's Albert. That's Albert doing Naya. He wasn't doing her. He was just, you know, saying her name.
Chuck's just playing with the soundboard now.
I'm losing my mind.
She's kind of cute.
So we go to the main event before we talk about the pay-per-view and the predictions. We go to the main event on Raw. We had fucking Rhea versus Charlotte again.
Yeah.
Pointless. Ends in a fucking DQ. The match was whatever. Who gives a fuck? We've seen it.
I was really hoping that Rhea Ripley would win this match.
It was their best match.
No, it wasn't.
I think the Money in the Bank match was better.
It was good.
What do you mean
but
it was
I think
better?
That, and I think of it as a
match.
It's a two-part match. It's like I looked at it as two parts. Like since we got a rematch the next night,
And, like, the second part was better.
I don't want to see this fucking match again.
Sorry.
Well, we don't got
to. I'm sorry about your damn luck, bro.
No, it's
going to
happen
again
because now. No, it's going to happen again because now it's going to be a fucking triple threat match at SummerSlam. That's what's going to happen.
I'm okay with that. It falls in line with the feud.
It's fine, but I don't want fucking Charlotte to win again. That makes it pointless.
Okay,
she's going to win
calm
it back again.
Down. Calm down. It's okay.
You're not getting how shit this is.
Christian, you need to go to Walmart and get your blood pressure checked, man, because
it's
you're fucking freaking
kids,
out.
Dude, like, Nikki, I got a 3-year-old, and my little girl's like, oh, she's the butterfly one. Every time this chick, and remember how much I hated it the first time I talked about Nikki Ash? I was like, this sucks. What are they doing?
God.
And now she's so over with my kid. I'm just like, hell yeah, dude. Like,
I'm not mad that Nikki won the title. I'm happy that she's the champion. But fuck me, it's not going to last long. You're going to lose
the title. Give it time. Give it time. Just because of the hurricane, just because of, you know, Molly Holly, and all these superhero characters that just didn't, I mean,
yeah.
I'm not saying they didn't work out, but they have superhero characters that we were talking about earlier, or a few months, or a few weeks ago, definitely have a lowered glass ceiling, you know what I mean? Like, and I think Nikki Ash is definitely breaking that glass ceiling.
Let me tell you,
we'll see.
If there's anybody who should be showing more skin, it's Nikki Ash. I really want to see what's underneath that fucking gold car. I mean, I really want to see it. I tell my
We've
chick every
seen,
time,
dude.
Like, man, I'm loving this Nikki Ash. I want to see what's underneath
you know
that
what
outfit.
I think?
But at the same time, I'm turned on because I can't see it. You know what I mean?
Cool.
It's like one of those things, and it should be that
Maybe you
way.
You have a superhero.
Because
effect,
sometimes
dude.
Less is more, you know? You
Maybe,
don't even have
did
to
you watch
go out
Witch?
There and show everything you have. You know what I mean? Fucking, you want to say
it's a PG product. It's a PG product.
And we're keeping it that way. But I
hey, you know what I think so? I think they brought
we're goddamn borderline rated R, but whatever.
I think they brought Rhea. I think they brought Rhea.
Like
her
really
gear looked too much like Nikki's gear.
Kind of cute.
Yeah.
She's
no,
got the title forward.
I think that they hid Nikki for a long time because they were bringing Rhea up, and I think that they were, like, maybe similar, and maybe they were coming up with something different for Nikki because they were similar.
I think they made her change her name. If truth be told, I think they made her change her name because, you know, Karrion Kross was coming up. And, you know, now while this whole thing may be true about her coming up with the character and all that shit, I think they pulled the trigger on it at this time and did what they did with it.
We also, a few weeks ago,
you know,
we heard about, like, different people getting pitched, like,
Ash.
Different ideas. People were, different people were getting pushed, like, different ideas of, like, what they could do is, like, reworking their characters. And a lot of people, like, turned ideas down. There was, like, reports of, like, people getting offered to, like, change their gimmick. And they didn't. I'd have to look it up again, but I remember seeing that. And then right after that, Nikki changed her character.
That was the whole Vince McMahon thing where who was it that Vince McMahon said, they wanted some ideas. And Vince McMahon said, oh, do you have any ideas? And they said, nope, I don't have any ideas. So, and then wouldn't she like release? Nikki Cross had the idea, I guess, mostly came up with a superhero idea, so I guess that's where I guess that's why she didn't get released.
Yeah. Nikki Cross is going to lose the title in 4 weeks. Title run's pointless.
Maybe she grabbed the brass ring, dog. She literally grabbed the brass ring. Like, she literally took a new gimmick from scratch, got them in the bank, got the women's title. Like, that's fucking
badass. And she's already peaked for 4 weeks. That's it.
Bro,
we'll see.
You continue to be the only guy I know who can walk into a fucking strawberry patch and come out with a fucking lemon. How the fuck do you do this?
Because I'm a professional. I'm a real.
How the fuck do you do this? You never cease to amaze.
I don't deal with answers. I deal with facts.
okay? The fact is, she's hit the ceiling and she's peaked. She's going to be 4 weeks. Sorry, that's a fact. That's fucking fact. Deal with it. Anyway, should we talk about the predictions of the pay-per-view? Because I'm done with Raw.
Let's finish it. Yes. We're going to go a little bit over.
We'll go into overtime.
But, shit, man, it's been a hell of a show.
Well, there's a lot to talk about. We have guest callers. We've had a lot of callers. It's been a good show.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Initially, I planned to be done.
We are going
off
the air soon.
Yeah, we are. But
you can follow.
They can go back and listen in the archives, and any of you can do it as well. So let's move on. Plow through the predictions. Christian, do you have that on hand, or do I need to pull it up? Or
yes, I do have that on hand. And it's an interesting one. All right, so the first match was the Women's Money in the Bank match, which, by the way, it was shit. It was awful. Come on. It was terrible. But we have
the
answers.
So
and
great.
Gentlemen, what?
The finish was so awesome. I loved the chaotic finish. It was like we never saw it coming. I loved it.
Yeah, but the match was awful. Gentlemen, we all got it wrong. We were so bad. All right? Chuck said Sonya. He was wrong. Kev and Albert said Alexa Bliss. They were wrong. And I was hoping I got this right. I said Sasha Banks, and I was wrong. So we all don't get a point on that. We did so on that.
Man, we suck.
Next.
We started out sucking.
Yeah. Next was the men's Money in the Bank briefcase. And me and Chuck get the point because we said Big E. And Kev and Albert don't get a point because they said Big E. Yeah. Good. I love Big E winning. I knew he was going to win because he's going to challenge Bobby Lashley when he cashes in against Bobby Lashley. That's the next story because of what happened with Kofi.
I'm not that far ahead in the storylines, first of all. I just called Big E because, shit, it's got to be his time, okay? They already pushed his bro to the moon a couple of times. Hell, they pushed him so hard, last year, and then he had an okay year this year, and now he, took that beating from, who the hell did he take that beating from? I'm talking about Kofi Kingston. Kofi Kingston took that beating
Bobby
in the squash match. Yeah, from Bobby Lashley. So, it makes sense that, we go to Big E to win that, and there's some type of, revenge or retribution or whatever the hell you want to call it. I'm not going to say he's going to do it for him, in particular for
too.
Kofi. But, there's got to be, some underlying shit there.
Yeah.
Beating down one of his members of the New Day and shit. I mean, it all makes sense. But I got to say, this is not somebody that I necessarily want to see more skin of, personally. In fact, I'm going to say he needs to put some skin on. This guy does nothing for me. Gyrates his ass and makes googly eyes at the camera.
He's got that gear where he could do the pull down, the shoulder strap thing. The shoulder strap pull down is one of the coolest taunts in wrestling. Like,
I'm not digging this guy, so we'll see what happens. We're
about
to go off the air, ladies and gentlemen. So tune in to the archives of the show to listen to the end.
You're listening to the World Generation Podcast Network. Please like us on Facebook at World Generation or on Twitter at World Generation Podcast. And now back to the show.
Yo, this is KVA West. You're listening to us live on the Fatal 4-Way Podcast. Come to you Tuesday nights at 9 on the World Generation Podcast Network.
You can check us out on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Planet. I'll be here every week being the mediator, the friendly baby face, the all-knowing, well, no, that's the Swami Christian, but I digress. Tune in every week at 9. We'll see you then.
Welcome back to Fatal 4-Way Radio. We are in overtime now. I am the resident heel, Minister of Sinister, and we still have on the line Peacemaker Kevye West and the Swami Christian from Philly, and we will be wrapping it up here with the...
oh, my God.
Yeah, with the
Albert
prediction.
Loss connection.
Yeah, Albert Loss connection, and so did the caller. And because we are now in overtime, they can no longer call in. So, guys, it's up to us to finish it out. So let's go through the predictions real quick.
So the next one was AJ Styles. We all got it right, by the way. So there's no point. We all called that AJ was going to retain. So we all get a point. Kev and Chuck get a point for calling Charlotte. Chuck and Kev, yeah, they got a point for calling Charlotte. Albert and me did not, so we don't get a point on that.
Who'd you guys pick?
Well, I picked, me and Albert picked Rhea.
Oh, yeah.
You picked Charlotte.
I just felt like they were going to go with that, you know? I mean, as much as I didn't like it, and actually, I was, you know, wanting to see Rhea Ripley recapture the title on Raw the next night. And,
she all but cheated. She basically cheated. I mean, she fucking stomped her leg in the stairs. So, like, Rhea didn't look super weak, but then...
Oh, tonight, yeah, it was
like,
cool.
It was different.
Well,
tonight, Charlotte, like, took her apart tonight. It was badass.
Rhea's title reign was shit. Was cool.
They did a segment at the end. They did this little exchange where, like, and I'm sure Rhea's done this a bunch, but it was like she was holding Charlotte's arm and, like, going under and, like, clotheslining her and picking her up and, like, kicked her in the gut. And the whole time she was, like, holding her arm while she did all this shit. It looked awesome. I haven't seen that yet, but maybe I just haven't watched closely enough. But they put on some cool shit. I thought that was okay.
No, I'm sick of seeing the match. But anyway, we go to the Bobby Lashley versus Kofi match. Again, we all get a point because it was obvious Lashley was going to retain. And then we go to the last match, which was a dog shit main event match. I don't care what you say. That match was slow. It was methodical. It was bullshit. It was horrible. It was boring. That match was boring. My God, this happened. Thank God we had that triple threat match at WrestleMania, because if that was the match they did for WrestleMania, that would have sucked. That would have sucked, that match. So, yeah, we all got the point again because Roman retained, and I was right again. Seth Rollins interfered, fucking cost, you know, Edge, and now it's going to be Seth Rollins versus Edge. I read these at the back of my fucking head. That's how predictable this fucking product has become.
Right.
So I tallied up the scores. Kev and Albert tie for dead last.
Uh-oh.
And I come second place. Chuck is your winner by 5 points.
Yeah. On the redemption. Yeah, baby. Right. You know, it just goes to show, man. I was dead last the last time we actually, you know, we do this shit all the time, and sometimes we don't even fucking keep up with who finished where or what, because
sometimes there's extra points.
It just turns to shit, you know, oftentimes. But the last time that we did this, I clearly remember coming in dead last, and, you know, the I could turn it around and come in first. Why? Because, you know, it's just unpredictable.
You know what?
Plus, I've been watching it for fucking 50 years.
You know what? Shame on this fucking product. Shame on this fucking company and this fucking product for making it so fucking predictable. Shame on them. Fucking shame on them.
It pisses me off. It pisses me off, and it pisses me off a lot. But, you know, at the end of the day, I still fucking watch it. I guess they've engraved it in my head so much that I still look forward to it even. And I still look forward to fucking watching it. I don't know what the hell they're going to do next. And it's the good moments that come through, because they do have good moments. They're just so far and few between. And that's the problem that I'm having.
Oh, please.
But the one thing that pissed me off the most in that entire pay-per-view was the fucking streaming service itself, Peacock, for fucking up. Breaking down, for fucking freezing, for fucking blacking out.
I pirated the pay-per-view because I pay for Peacock, but I stole it because it would not fucking work. So I stole that shit.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me that your stream, you pay for Peacock, but your stream was so poor that you stole it?
And your stream was better? And you can't rewind. You can't fucking rewind. And on the WWE Network, you could rewind. On certain platforms, you can. On PlayStation and, like, different things. But that's not the point. Like, make your shit work on every platform, dude. Like, it's... Like I'm saying, like they obviously have plenty of streaming services that work. And it's not just Peacock. I could go in on a couple of different streaming services. We just tried out Paramount, and that shit sucks, dude. Like these guys, they expect us to pay for this, like, and it's not gonna work. And who do I blame? Do I blame Sony, my PlayStation people, or do I blame the app? I think it's the app, because I have other apps that work on my fucking PlayStation. So what the fuck are y'all doing? Get your shit right, Peacock.
For fucking 3 months in a row, we have not seen a good fucking pay-per-view work for 3 fucking months.
People
fucking
have had issues
app,
every
man.
Time. Every time.
I was...
Fuck Peacock.
And they sprung it on us. They said, hey guys, we're selling the WWE Network. And, like, a month later, it was gone. Like, and, you know, there's people, like, I fucking loved the WWE Network the whole time I subscribed to it. It's
sad. Me too.
I don't
never
have
not
on
one
Peacock.
Problem.
I don't go on Peacock, and I know that the capability is still there, but I do not go on Peacock and watch old pay-per-views or old fucking episodes of wrestling or any other WWE content on Peacock. I watch other shit on Peacock, but it's not the WWE Network, dog. Like, it's not the same to me, and it sucks more. Like, it's just a shittier app. And they want me to pay for it.
I was
dude,
not,
not
watching live.
Dude, there's not good content that much. Dude, there's not even
not
fucking
watching,
good content.
I was not watching live, guys. So I was on the road and getting situated. I watched the end of it live because I plugged in. I was on a road trip, and then I got to where, you know, I was going to Laredo. And I got there. And got into the room and shit and hooked up my shit and stuff to start watching right at the end. So I got to see the finish to the main event and then do come out and shit and send the crowd home happy. Well, imagine John Cena coming out to send the crowd home happy.
Hell.
That's what we had that night, though. Whether you
imagine,
I'm sorry to tell you, bro. John Cena got the tap that night to send the crowd home happy. Kevin, do you agree?
No, but that's fine. But imagine like Peacock customers, right? Watching the show.
Yes.
And you want to see John Cena return, and all of a sudden you see a fucking black screen, and it froze.
Yeah. Now, like I said, I did not watch live up until the end. And when I did watch, it was perfect. But I did get bad reports, though, from Kitty Teixeira, who was holding down the fort, watching it live. And the first part of the pay-per-view, she said, was great. And then once it started getting, you know, it was great, like the viewing was great. But then once it started getting into the beef of things and shit, it started fucking up where she couldn't even watch it. She had to turn it off. It got so bad where she had to turn it off. And I'm thinking, what the fuck? Wait a minute. We pay $10 a month for this shit? The only reason we fucking pay for this shit is to watch the fucking live fucking shit.
Yeah.
If you gotta charge me, if you gotta fucking boost up the fucking rate and charge me $15 so that this shit doesn't fucking happen, do so. But make sure that this fucking shit doesn't happen.
Don't go giving them ideas. Well, I need to make their shit work.
No, but I mean, I'm for real. You know,
Chuck,
I mean,
Twitch
shit.
Is a free app. Twitch is a free app that's been out on fucking consoles and Roku and shit like that for fucking almost like 10 years, if not more. And that shit works. Like, they could fucking put WWE on Twitch and it would work. I'm just saying, like,
wow.
What the fuck, Peacock? Like, you work for NBC, you know? It's just, it's fucking weird.
So yeah,
that
they couldn't
sell the WWE Network to any other streaming service like Hulu or Netflix. They couldn't do that. They couldn't do that.
Yeah. They probably got paid a lot to jump on a new one. Like, Peacock might have paid them more. They might have got offered deals with other places.
Yeah, it sucks. The content is awful. I checked it, bro. I checked all the content in Peacock.
Yeah, there's not
nothing
much. There's
good
like family
Peacock.
Shows. There's not really great movies. There's like family shows and sitcoms and shit like that.
I've recently started taking advantage of the Pawn Stars because I do like that.
Yeah, there's
those
other
are
stuff
scam
like that.
People.
You can watch like Hoarders and all those like A&E shit. Like, what are they? Like History Channel bullshits.
And also
but,
you can watch the A&E
I
shit.
Digress. That's the thing. That's what Peacock is good at. That's what works on Peacock. But every time I try to watch WWE on that shit, it fucks up. So fuck these guys. Because that's like Christian said, that's the last thing I want is to be watching a live event and the shit to fuck up and not
yep.
be able to see the moment that like everybody wants to
You're
fucking
right.
see.
You're absolutely right. So it's fucking
So I didn't
worthless.
Look at spoilers. I waited 30, 45 minutes and then I started fucking stealing it and watched it like that because fucking knew that would work.
And I tell you what, I got to tell you guys, personally, I'm glad that I was on the road while this shit was happening and wasn't watching it live. Because if I would have been at the house watching it and then this shit was happening all fucking night long and shit, I may have had a fucking coronary or some crazy shit. And fucking
no,
drop right there.
Like one time it was, I can't remember what pay-per-view it was, but it was not Fastlane. It was the one after, it was Backlash. We tried to watch Backlash WrestleMania and it didn't even work. And I didn't even get to watch it until like 2 days later. Just because it
Man.
Didn't work that night.
Hey, imagine you fucking, you know, call a bunch of friends over and shit.
That's what happened,
hey,
dog. It was a viewing party. We all got there to see WrestleMania.
We're
going to
barbecue
and
shit.
Fucking pop off.
Yeah. We're going to
yeah.
barbecue and shit. Oh, my God. Yeah.
I'll be like, bro, what the fuck is this shit?
Yeah.
No, we were all pissed. We were all pissed about it. And I remember cutting a promo on the show about how bullshit it was. And I remember me and Christian talking on the phone that week about how bullshit it was that it didn't even fucking work. And the last time, it wasn't this most recent time, but the time before that, Christian was having issues on his Roku. It's just every fucking time.
Yeah.
And it was every Roku user. Nobody with a Roku could fucking watch.
Like I said, I'd never had problems. Never. Not once.
Right.
Went away on a trip. Fabulous Kitty Teixeira was watching. She had problems. I was questioning. I actually was questioning her. Well, did you set it up right? Hey, come on.
And that's
motherfucker,
the thing too,
it's just an app.
That's supposed to be a draw. Like, they want people to be watching live on the Peacock network. They want people tuning in on Peacock to watch the shit.
Yeah.
So they're trying to drive up numbers for viewers on there, and then the shit fails, and now they've got a bunch of angry customers.
And we're paying $10 or $15, whatever the fuck it costs, right? And then, you know, we find out on Twitter? Oh, my God, no.
Think of it this way, too, bro. There were millions of subscribers to the fucking WWE network that all got absorbed into Peacock. So not only did you have all the new Peacock people that were just subscribing to watch The Office and shit, but you had millions of WWE fans absorbed into it too. So that's like half, like a good portion, maybe a third of their fucking people that are subscribed. I don't know what the numbers are, but you know what I mean? It's a huge chunk of their numbers probably that is just angry WWE fans like us.
Hmm.
You get fucked. You get fucked over.
I'll tell you what, though. If it wasn't for the fucking Pawn Stars, like I said, I have an affinity with the Pawn Stars. And then also because, you know, I like learning shit, and they do a lot of shit where, you know, you learn stuff on there, and I like that.
Yeah,
and I like the History Channel and shit. And the A&E, I'm watching the whole Shawn Michaels thing, and I started watching the Stone Cold Steve Austin one, but I fell asleep during it. And not because he's boring or anything, just because, you know, I was sleepy. But so that's a plus. And if you guys haven't watched those things on A&E, check them out, because I'm looking forward to finishing the Stone Cold Steve Austin one and then getting to the Mick Foley one.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't trust any of those people from Pawn Stars, Minister.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not saying I'm going to go fucking pawn something there, because, you know, really, I don't like to pawn my shit. But if I was in Las Vegas, I would go buy.
No,
I would go there to buy something.
No, I wouldn't go there either. Have you not heard what happened? That they were in court for something, dude.
No.
What'd they do?
Nothing. They lied about an item. They stole money, and their TV show got canceled. They're liars. Their story got closed. Yeah. They
really?
Looked up in the news. I'll get the report right now. Hold on. I'll read it right now.
Oh my God! Are you
carnies?
Wait a minute. Are they doing a bunch of carny shit?
I'll do it right now.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
He cut off at the same time that Miss America cut off. What was her name?
I don't know. She never said her name.
I asked her. She never said.
Great caller, by the way. Cut off at the same time. I'm not too sure Albert's not chasing skirt somewhere.
Albert was in the bottle tonight. He was having a good time.
It was a great time. The whole show's been great. Holy shit. I've drank 4 Modelo 24 ounces, and I'm on my second Deep L of my PA. As we speak, guys. It's a hell of a show. And second bulb, too, by the way. I mean, since we're, you know, talking freely and over time.
Where the fuck
only
is
we? On the World Generation Podcast Network. Christian?
Okay. I'm trying to find it right now because... I know they were on the news for something, but it was something about them selling. They lied about an item that they were trying to sell, and it was fake, and they were suing them for it. Oh, yeah, here it is.
It was the NWA thing
sold down. Court. Let me go to the court case. Let me go to the court thing. Hold on.
WWF Women's Title.
Bizarre $5 million lawsuit involving melted gold.
Oh wow!
Wow.
Says most every reality show goes through some kind of country, whether it's Survivor's first winner serving jail time. Pawn Stars, however, might have the controversy to stop the $5 million lawsuit over melted gold. That's a sentence few would have ever imagined. Fortunately for sure, the news is lately good as it seems to be raising above the pandemic that has shut down so much entertainment. Let's see. How to face a lawsuit over melted gold. All right. So according to the criminal complaint filed by the state of Nevada in Clark County Justice Court, a coin collection worth an estimated $50,000 was stolen from David Walter's Las Vegas home in November 13th by Walter's niece, Jennifer Beckman. The complaint alleges Beckman stole the collection, taking parts of it to Las Vegas gold and silver pawn shop, where she sold the coins in several visits, as reported by the ABC. However, the shop was not notified by the police that the coins were stolen until next month. By the time the coins were long gone, we go through them, says spokesperson. If the greater, you know, the lawsuit stipulates that although pawn shop in Nevada.
What fault is that of theirs? What fault is that of theirs? It's not that fucking fault that happened. I don't see any fault in that. Now, by the way, I'm not an attorney, but I do have an attorney that could call in if he's out there listening.
this was in August 13th, 2020, so this was last year, this news article.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like they might be able to get out of that one, but it does sound like kind of thing where they were like selling like a stolen product. They were selling something that was like melted down, like stolen jewelry that was melted down into.
Guys,
I don't know.
I'm so grateful to have you guys on the show tonight. I mean, all of you, we had such great callers tonight. We just had a fantastic show. And I'll tell you what.
Ladies and gentlemen, name that tune.
We're not even all here. Man, you're going to put me against Christian? Christian's going to win.
This is out of the blue. This is so out of the blue. Oh, my gosh. So we got to do it. We definitely got to do it. All right. Name that tune, Christian from Philly. And the generator is working right now. Here we go. Any idea, Christian?
Can you give me a hint?
Tag team. I will also give you another hint.
Yeah.
Let's see here. I will give you a hint of Mid-South Wrestling, AWA, and Georgia Championship Wrestling.
Later versions
of WWE and GCW, no less.
Brian Pillman?
Is it Brian Pillman, ladies and gentlemen? NBA with a chance to steal.
I'm gonna give you the hint.
Managed by Jim Cornette.
I think it's the Midnight Express.
Is it the Midnight Express? Keep us not in suspension any longer, damn it. Is it the Midnight Express? I said...
Jesus
is
Christ.
Is it the Midnight... Holy
if you hit me
shit.
With the no, I'm going to be so mad.
We don't know yet. The generators, is it the Midnight Express?
Before you said Quintet, I was thinking Midnight Express, but then that gave it away, kind of. But GCW is what gave it away, too, because I remembered when they were all old and, like, coming back all old, and I was like, ugh. So, yeah, Midnight Express. I don't recognize the name song, but it's pretty cool.
Dude, that when they came back all old like that, it was pitiful to watch.
No, I kind of dig it, dude. They did some cool matches. They did some cool matches when they
to
were
me,
doing that
it was the first time I was witnessing, you know, older stars come in to do jobs and shit.
They
and
still cook
good like,
promos. They're funny. They're in NWA
yeah,
right now.
Promos were fucking gold. Promos were fucking gold. And Christian from Philly just lost his title.
I'll get it back no matter what. I'll get it back.
That was cool.
The hints, I feel bad, though, too, because it wasn't the music that gave it away for me. It was the hints, like the rosters that they were on. I was like, what team was on all these rosters? And it had to be Midnight Express.
Right on.
Well, boys, it was a good show. I'm going to sign myself
Chris.
Off. I had a lot of fun.
Yes, sir.
And I'll be back next week, and I'll try to watch AEW as well. And I'll try to get on Fight TV and watch like Ring of Honor and some other stuff. But that app's pretty cool. Check that out too. And yeah, we'll see you next week, guys.
Right on, ladies and gentlemen, Kevier West, new champion. New champion. Yeah. Interesting turn of events, my friend. Interesting turn of events.
Yes, Chris. Yeah, it's very interesting. The show got hijacked by a bunch of people. Very interesting.
Oh, come on. It was just a show, bro. I mean, it was a great
yes,
show.
I know.
By the way,
it was a
thank
great
you
show.
So much for being a part of this show, dude. And thank you for, you know, your all the knowledge that you bring to this show, the credibility that you give this show with your knowledge. It's a fucking huge asset to Fatal 4 Wheel.
I'm going to close myself out, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in for the Fatal 4 Wheel Radio. See you next week. Peace out and good night, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Swami, Christian from Philly. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us. This has been a great show, one for the ages. I mean, just a great show tonight. Thank you so much for being a part of it. Until next time, keep it real, keep it heel. I am the resident heel, minister of sinister for Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Inspected, Peacemaker, Kevier West, and the Swami, Christian from Philly. Keep it real, keep it heel, and more importantly, keep it sexy, motherfuckers. Peace!
presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.